So we're here with our crew as normal, but guess where we are?
Our podcast studio.
All of us in one room right now.
We did it.
New spot. I know.
Who knew?
Dude, I mean, it's a long time coming, but it's like, it feels kind of like... I just real.
I feel a little more, I'll be honest, like relaxed because we're like at home, right? We're in my home. We're at like,
it's I bet just, you that was nice. He's just like, oh, dude, I don't have to drive nowhere.
And you know how I am? I'm like an early bird. I normally show up like way earlier than I'm supposed to things. So for this, I'm like, I don't have to go anywhere. I'm just like, that's awesome. They're in my backyard. I'll start walking over.
And what are we going to start open? I mean, you got a hat on Ricky's knee. What hat is that?
It's our sponsor today.
Oh,
1UP. This is Phoenix Resale's app, 1UP. Go check it out. I think by now,
amazing.
It should be out and available. We didn't tell Caleb we're doing this, but we will send him a little bill in the mail for $1,000 for the shout out. So thank you, Caleb, for the free sponsor.
And I've checked it out. It is a cool app. I'm on the pre-release.
Ooh.
Oh, okay. All right. Fancy.
I'm doing the collecting side of it. That's what I've been looking at.
Nice.
He calls that the pre-cum. All right, go ahead.
All right, we're going to go into our first one, I guess. We're just going to be like, hey, before you guys went to swap meets and flea markets together as friends, what made you guys want to go to them in the first place?
Yeah.
think about it.
I can speak for Ricky and I. I mean, I don't know if it plays into it, but I will say I kind of like the idea of talking about, like, I know my mom and dad watch this, so they will watch this and see this, but they're aware. I grew up really poor, and that was just like a huge thing in my life that it really shaped everything I did. I mean, everything was, you know, what you can do in your life is – honestly, the amount of money you have is the ability of what you can do with a lot of things. So we didn't have a lot of, you know, availability at that time to buy certain things or just get certain things the way you wanted it. You had to scavenge for it. We would go in dumpsters. We would go to swap meets, to flea markets. Thrift stores was huge for us.
Yeah.
Huge for us. Me and my brother to this day would go to the same Goodwill so much. And there was this one guy that worked there, and every time we'd go in there for some reason, he would, you know, they announce on the speaker like, oh, answer line two or whatever. And he'd always say, line two, please, line two, please, line two, please. To this day, you can walk up to Adam, do it, Ricky, say, line two, please, line two, please, line two, please. You're like, oh, how do you know about that? I will say, though, before we get deeper in the conversation, I wouldn't change the way I grew up for anything, though.
Oh, no.
I cherish the way my family raised me. I love it. Even looking back now, right? We're all, you know, we're dad now. Like, I'm like, I love the way they raised me, that it never crossed my mind, which I think is interesting, that I never felt poor. I never, even when I went to a private school, and I'll be honest, because my dad was security there, that's how I got in. It wasn't because we had money. It was quite literally the opposite. But I never felt out of place. I know most kids in the school at the time, when I'm like, I go in there without thinking. I just went to a thrift store and swapped me. They're like, huh? You dirty scum. But it never crossed my mind, or I never felt less than or embarrassed or anything like that. So for me, that's kind of where I started wanting to go there. And this was before I met Ricky, which we can go into that. But
did you guys go to the swap meets and flea markets as a family together?
Yes.
You did?
With my dad, not my mom.
With your dad. Yeah. And how old were you? What's your earliest memory of being at the flea market?
Probably later elementary.
So maybe 6, 7, 8?
Probably somewhere around 8 years old or so.
Dang.
Hey.
You know, I'm a third generation swap meter. So to me, it's kind of like what you did. That's how my dad would always buy tools. So we'd be up early in the morning going to the swaps, and then Mission Viejo yard sales. My dad's always like, Mission Viejo's of gold mine. So we'd always go to the Mission Viejo. But it was,
I feel like,
awesome.
That's where it spawns, right? That's like garage sales.
That's where it spawns.
Garage sales, then it turns into like a whole experience with then going to like a flea market. And then after that, you go into like a little bit more like a thrift store.
Yeah.
And then it just keeps going. Like, it's like a cycle, right?
Yeah.
But like, what was like one of your favorite memories as a kid? Like, what did you get at the swap meet that you can remember where you're like, dude, I want to come back?
Oh, dude, the cheapo race cars. So I saved up. My dad would give me like a dollar every time we went to the swap meet, a dollar
hey,
or two.
Bro, don't flex.
Oh.
Getting a dollar, dude. What?
Must be nice.
I saved up so many that I got my racetrack. It was like one of the loop-de-loop ones. I was like, dang, this is the best thing. But I look back, I'm like, that thing was like, it's like what they sell nowadays,
so
for like $5.
The Chinese bootleg. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's what I would get too. The little Chinese bootleg stuff. But it's crazy because when you think back about it, it really is a weird feeling to think that you didn't comprehend in your mind, like, well, this is junk though, mom and dad. It was like, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah.
Dude, nothing was junk, man. Everything was great.
And you played with it forever.
Yeah.
And you played with it forever and you figured it out. Ricky, what, how low? I want to know where Chris is at too. I have a feeling Chris grew up with mid-range wealth, but first.
Okay, 20 credit score.
Mid-low.
There we go. Ricky, I know we've been friends forever, but how, like, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the most poor, like, what level of poor do you think you actually were growing up?
Like, United States poor, you mean?
Yeah, where we are. Where we are poor.
I'd say, like, a 3, because the thing.
You weren't that poor.
No, well,
ten is really poor. One's not very poor.
I see.
So you're saying more like a 7.
Yeah, more like a 7.
Okay.
Because at my house, like, it was like all my uncles. I have like 6 uncles. So it was my 6 uncles. My mom. Like,
of course you do.
I couldn't hold it back.
So 6 uncles, my mom, my aunt, and then we'd rent out some of, like, dude, we only had a 4 bedroom, but we'd rent out some of the rooms to, like, I didn't even know who these people were, but I guess they'd help, like, pay for the rent. So it's like, that's how we had enough to make it through.
And that's when you know you're poor.
Hey.
Like, I don't know who these people are living at my house.
I'll tell you this. Like, there'd be times where there was no food. So I legit, we had a ton of fruit in the backyard.
Yeah.
So I'd get the loquats and I'd just be like, oh, this is the best meal ever. I'd start eating fruit. And that
was one of the funniest things too. Like, just this, like, past weekend, he's over here trying to do sugar canes.
Oh yeah, he was hunting sugar canes.
We had sugar canes in the backyard.
And then he walks out with pomegranates.
Ricky,
I had pomegranates too.
Ricky does love loquats. That's something when I started to meet him, he'd always be in his backyard like, I got loquats, bro. Like,
I don't even know what those are.
It's
I always just call it loquats.
It's a fruit.
Yeah, it's a fruit. You see them around the neighborhood. They're like yellow. They're kind of shaped like a teardrop. They're really sweet, and they have like 3 seeds in them every single time.
I
need to know, Chris. What was your? Were you? What were you?
Middle is middle gets.
Okay.
Like, just a suburb of like Hartford, Connecticut.
Suburb.
Hey. Yeah.
Hey. And that pizza fire. So
wait, you were in an apartment, bro? You were not poor.
No, we grew up in like middle class, houses, not rich by any means.
Yeah, yeah.
But my dad did pretty well.
Okay.
I actually didn't experience, like, where I grew up, there was no real flea markets, actually. So I don't think I did. I really even remember going to a flea market till I was probably in college.
Wow.
There was no
poverty.
None of that. No, the only thing I think for hunting for me when I was really little is my brother and I, he's my older brother, we used to go and explore like abandoned houses.
That's
and
rad.
We used to go in, there was a lot of, you know, throughout the neighborhood, there'd be like an empty house and we would go in and find all sorts of like antiques and knickknacks and stuff like that.
Nice.
And we would bring those home. So that was my first experience collecting stuff. And now it's like true hunting. Now you see it, like, nowadays people are doing that all over again, going out and hunting like abandoned houses and stuff.
Yeah. Dude, that's the best.
Oh. Yeah, it really is the best.
I don't know. Did I do it with you? I would do like abandoned or like Black Star Canyon or whatever it's called and go do a lot of like the Blair Witchy type stuff. Okay.
That was you guys enjoyed it. I didn't enjoy it that much.
A little off topic from this. I was talking with Ben in the car and I was like, dude, Billy from the Game Chasers got so lucky finding that abandoned VHS store.
Oh, dude.
I was like, dude, there's got to be somewhere. Somebody has like a log of like where all the rental stores were.
Yep.
And like see if any of them are, pretty much still owned by a family or not, you know?
And anybody who doesn't know, he's referring to a video from the Game Chasers.
Yeah.
Billy put out a video that he wasn't planning on doing, which is, go figure, that's freaking YouTube. That's a perfect example of how much YouTube pisses me off. You can try to make the best content you want for years. Try and try, fail, and then Billy wasn't even trying. No, I'm saying power to him, even he'll admit it.
Yeah, I was so staged. You're like,
I'm freaking filming, I might as well pull up my phone. Hey, look, there's an abandoned store, and then it has Darkwing Duck box and all this stuff, and it's like, you can't create. And that video did really well, which is
that
awesome.
That was such an awesome video. I watched that.
It
reminded me of my childhood when we used to do that. Where I grew up was like a lot of industrial buildings. It used to be like a lot of mill factories for like clothing.
Mill factories?
Exposed.
A lot of mill factories.
So that's where they make them.
No, they were like cotton factories and they had like
one thing after another.
So Connecticut has a ton of them. And my brother and I used to go explore all of those. Mm. Now there's like whole YouTube channels that go around doing that. You've probably seen those that explore abandoned. Like I follow this one channel, like Exploring with Josh, I think is what it's called. And he goes around the whole world now exploring these like abandoned buildings. So anyways, that's how I got started with hunting. It was kind of just exploring houses and abandoned stuff.
Did you ever have creepy stuff? Like actual creepy.
Yeah.
Like I know we've all like heard the noise and like, ah!
I mean, I kind of, one time my brother and I, we were up in like upstate New York and we went and it was always my brother that wanted to do this. So I was like the younger brother tagging along. I was probably like 10. Sure. He's like 15. I'm like, yeah, I'll go with you. So we were like camping up there and there was this house and my brother's like, we got to go explore that house. So we go to this place and it was like something out of like Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Mm-hmm. There was like all this wasted like trash and all this stuff. And it was like empty cars. And we went in the back of the house and my brother's like, come on, we got to go in. And I was getting kind of freaked out. I was like, I don't know. This is kind of freaky. And we go in and there was like right away there, I think there was like a piss pan. Like,
oh yeah.
I'm looking at my brother. I'm like, is somebody living here? And then we go in a little further into the house and we started hearing like this weird, like organ music, like playing in the house. And I remember being so freaked out. I was so scared. And I was thinking was Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And I was like, Corey, we got to get out of here now. And we bolted out of there. But I was like, we're ready to get murdered. Like the door's going to close.
Yeah, what house was organ?
Either there was someone actually playing music. I would say odds are someone's playing with you. Because I do that kind of stuff. Like when we did the abandoned house and my son was there, immediately when he was by himself, I pulled up my phone on YouTube, pulled up some scary music and just started playing it in the hallway. And he's like,
I think that this was somebody living in this house, like that was probably like 80, 90 years old that had been there their whole life and had just like.
Organ player.
Yeah. I don't know.
He was waiting for the door to open.
It was freaky though, but that was scary as can be. Yeah.
Dude, wow.
That's a crazy experience, man.
It was pretty scary. Yeah.
Nice.
Man. Yeah. I think one of the experiences that I had like growing up through swap meets was just going to the Santa Clarita racetrack and it was just down the road from my grandparents' house. And the one thing that I remember getting all the time was cheap clothes.
Oh yeah.
Oh my gosh, I couldn't go through socks enough and I couldn't go through fake famous Stars and Straps and DC shirts.
You were famous.
Dude.
Yes. Now I can get a look what you looked like back then.
Yeah, that and like just finding like just old beat up toys and games. Like that's normally where my mom would buy games. Like everything was a hand-me-down because I had two older brothers.
Yeah.
So there was no way we were affording actual good stuff. Right. I've had one experience where I've opened up an actual brand new game and that was like an N64.
Well, what game was it?
I remember talking about it. I think it was Super Smash Brothers and it was the Atomic Purple N64 box. Those two things is like the only thing I actually can remember opening. Other than that, like somehow we had a PlayStation in my brother's room in one of them. Yeah. My brother had a VHS with like the wood trim TV. And then I had like a cruddy little CRTV in my room. But it was like, I would play in my room all moments that I could. So if my brothers weren't there, I was like, you know what, whatever, it's cool. But I think just being at like the swap meets, that kind of just invigorated why I love the hunt.
Absolutely.
My parents just let me run around and be like, here you go, go. Yep. And then I grab some and come back with a little snappers.
Hide and seek and never come back.
you remember those
little snappers?
Those little poppers, man. Yeah. I would buy the crud out of those, man.
So you guys all grew up here and you were in Southern California as
north. I grew up in the Mojave Desert.
Like how many flea markets were there back then compared to now?
A good amount.
A lot. There was a lot. There was more drive-ins. That's where they all
more
were
back
at.
Then, you would say. Even than now, more.
Yeah, because a lot of them got like commercialized, like the areas, so they built in it or put more restrictions, like an open fairgrounds type of thing. Like, well, hey, that's not going to be allowed anymore. I remember they were almost going to shut down some of them permanently after COVID. Yeah. And that was like the most mad I've ever been in my life.
And some did shut down because they were saying they were going to shut down my childhood, which was the Santa Clarita one. I was like, no.
But they didn't, correct.
I don't think they did. I think it's still going.
No, Gabba goes there.
But the other one I went to was Four Corners. I don't know if you've ever been to that one.
Heard of it.
That one's kind of just north of Lancaster and it's like, or just east of it. And that was another one that I would go to.
Was there a lot where you lived?
There was one. There was one at the drive-in that was that is still there. That's been there for a long time. But as a kid, we never went to that one. I go to it now when I go back to Connecticut. I will go to that one. It's a really good one. But there's only two.
Good, though.
Yeah, nice. There's only two in all of Connecticut. Two flea markets of Connecticut. That is it.
That's crazy.
That's it.
Yeah,
it's in the whole state.
And how do you guys have the best pizza?
That we have.
Are you a deep dish or a thin crust?
Thin crust.
Thin crust. Thin crust. Oh my gosh, thin crust.
Medium.
Okay.
I'll take any pizza, but I mean, I prefer Connecticut's pizza.
Pineapple, no pineapple.
No pineapple.
Connecticut's pizza beats
everything.
I actually
don't hate it. What, Ben? You got a problem with that?
No pineapple.
Ben just looked over angry.
He's a Chicago guy.
Thank you, Ben. So. Oh, he's a Chicago. He's the guy who says council. I'm collecting councils. Did I ever tell you when you were talking about like all the abandoned stuff and how dirty it was? Did I ever tell you when I had guns pulled on me in Long Beach?
No.
I was working. I wanted to tell – when you were telling it, I was like, oh, man, I don't think I've ever told Chris the story. Maybe like, guy, I don't know, 6 years ago or so, I was working in Long Beach. I won't say what I do, but like stuff for like, you know, utility yeah. type company stuff. And I was in the alley. And I remember when I got to that area to do the work, we had like these little mechanical like computers, but very pre like good technology. And it would like give you notes on what to do. And it literally – I just remember it saying in the morning, don't bring your wallet with you on this route. Like it's pretty gnarly. Like you're kind of entering like the real hood, like the actual hood. And I was
I
brought my wallet just because I don't know. I just didn't really think about it. I brought it and I'm down this one alley and I'm hanging out and I just get six guys come up to me. Yo, what the you doing in the hood? What you doing in my neighborhood? This and that. Dead serious.
That's sketchy.
And I'm looking out of them. Six people, six guns on my head.
They pulled on you.
Six Wait. Guns on my head at the same time. And this was reported. This is in the company. There's no – this wasn't a lie. Six guns pulled on my head. The youngest person was probably 12, 13. And they're saying, do it to him. And I'm quickly realizing this is a gang initiation. Like that's what this is. You need to kill someone to get in. Do it. The kid's shaking, like sweating. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, I'm going to die. And Ricky knows the story. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And my – it was weird because it was almost one of those things where you kind of get to realize like how you would react in a moment.
Yeah.
Obviously I wasn't going to fight. It was six guys. I don't have a gun on me. I have like a stick, you know, would use to fight dogs, like a mailman type thing. And I just, the words that came out of my mouth naturally was like, let me call my wife. And I just was like going to reach my phone to call my wife. And this is why I've always given major props to police officers is I just hear around the corner, someone turning the corner and it's a cop car.
Oh my God.
And the second the cop car turns the corner, you see the lights go on and they just bolt all of them. And I'm just sitting there like, oh, you saved my life without knowing. I mean, yes, you know, maybe quote unquote didn't do anything, but just your presence of being here saved my life. And he's like, where'd they go? And I'm like, they just kind of dispersed. And then he went off. Obviously, I had to go to work and tell. They did a huge report on it and everything.
Didn't he tell you not to point, just like show him?
That's when I saw a dead body.
Oh, that's when you saw a dead body.
I was in Long Beach another time, and I hear scuffling. This is a real story, dude.
This is nuts.
I work in – again, there's beautiful parts of Long Beach as well, but I work in the very bad parts of Long Beach. And they literally – they've told me at my work they put me there because when I wear my short sleeves, I have the most tattoos, so I kind of blend in. So I'm like, okay, that's fine. I'll do that. I hear scuffling. And I see these guys dragging a guy in the car with no shirt. And it's a big dude, probably like 350. And they're like struggling and get in the car. And with what I do, I have like a micro, like a telescope type thing, like a handheld one. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking at like wires, acting like I'm doing my work. But I start looking down so I could see close. This dude was deader than dead. This guy was dead, dragging a dead body in. So what Ricky said, I had to, you know, call my boss. He's like, you need to call the cops now. I called the cops when he came over and he's like, you know, where'd they go? Cause I was in the alley. They were dragging him like three houses down. And he's like, and he's looking at me like right out of the man. He's just staring. He's like, don't point. Don't look. Don't do anything. Just say which way they are. And I'm like two houses down to the left, north corner. And he's just like, okay, go. And then I wasn't allowed to go to back to that area for a long time. Cause they're like, dude, if they saw you, know that you could be a potential rat, they're going to kill you next time.
Yeah.
Cause at my job, I literally work on the streets of Long Beach. It's what I do. On the streets. I'm not in an office. So it's like some crazy stuff, man.
That is crazy.
Yeah, my dad's told me some stories. But I mean, I'd rather like save that if my dad ever wants to be on.
I know.
Like,
she'll try to get my dad on.
I want your dad on.
Everybody tell my, where's the camera, Ben? Right there.
Oh, wait, we want you.
Dad, come on the podcast.
Please.
He has the gnarliest stories, dude.
He does have some crazy stories.
I'm talking
stories.
Like, you'll listen to him talk and be like, there's no way you're telling the truth. And my mom will be like, here's the newspaper article. And I'm like, my goodness.
Yeah.
It's wild.
And I can tell you, like, similarly, those stories have happened to my father as well.
Yeah.
Because
he grew up in a different time.
Dude, he grew up in the heart of it, like during like the Rodney, the King riots and all that stuff. Like he
the
was
King riots.
Dude,
he's a
was.
Cop?
No, no, he's he works for the municipality downtown.
So, that was your dad? So
was that your dad? He used to work for the city down there. So like he would be out on the ground and he would have to go into like Renshaw and South LA and in those intense areas. I was just at with JD from the Liquidation, the one we did Abandoned House with, and I told Riff, I was like, dude, I didn't realize I was in the heart of it.
Yeah.
Like I was just in this house, like checking it out, and then all of a sudden, like I just see a car, like a cop car, zoom down the street, and right around a block away, it is just like a gang. And I was like,
"Are you guys at your job? Maybe I don't know if you can answer this or not. Would you be allowed to carry a gun?"
I could carry the type of it's called a less lethal gun, but I could probably carry a less lethal, which I do own a few of them. I think they're very good, especially if you're not trying to, not every situation, the end result needs to be kill someone. There can be, right? But there is situations where I'm like, Curtis has seen, I've been trying to bait Curtis to let me shoot him with it. But I talked to a correctional officer about, or saw his report on it. And he was like, we use these specific less lethal. They can't call them non-lethal because they could kill you. He's like, but dude, two shots was the most anybody could take in this place.
So do you carry that on you now?
I do.
When you're in Long Beach,
I carry it. I mean, if you hate to ask, you guys see the videos and I have a thing on me. That's what's in there.
He always just is like, he's literally looking at me. He's like, hey, do you want to get shot today? I'm like, no.
There's a pepper one that you can use that's like gnarly. It's not just like pepper spray. I've watched guys do videos and you get shot with it. And the good news is you don't have to be a good shot. I could hit you in the leg and it will burn your face and you'll have welts for days. And have a hard time seeing and breathing for a long time.
I think that's what they were using during like the COVID times when they were doing the riots at like downtown Huntington Beach, like right off their main street. They were doing those type of.
Did you get one shot to the face?
Oh, dude, I wasn't out there. Trust me.
This isn't Rodney King.
Dude, I was not out there either. I wasn't even a thought during that.
You weren't even born.
You weren't a thought, but you're a thought now.
I was a mistake. I mean, dude, just thank God you're still alive.
We're here.
Dude, that's what's crazy. I'm like literally stuttering. I didn't even know that about you. So that's a hard one to end on, but we're going to end on that one.
Happy days.
You guys ready? All right. So who is the best in-game villain of all time?
Ooh, okay. Ooh. So we're not talking final boss necessarily. We're talking
any villain, any person that you have to challenge that is difficult. That has a personality trait that you have to fight.
I had some notes for it because there was some that I'm like, man, I don't want to forget these guys. Oh, I know one that I wrote. I have a few, but I'll start with a simple one.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite in-game fights, Mike Tyson.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Villain. Yeah.
That's a great really one. Good one.
It's because it's so interesting because it seems so like extreme that even is something that happened. The bad guy, in air quotes, for those who can't see, because if you think about a bad guy in any video game, even if you are playing as a sports character in, let's say, a baseball game or a football game, they're not necessarily the enemy, right? But with Mike Tyson, that's the final boss.
There was something like fearful about when you actually had to fight him too. When you stood in front of him as Little Mac and he was gigantic and he came out, you knew you were about to get absolutely demolished.
And if you grew up during that time, I mean, you saw the damage that the real Mike Tyson does. So you're like, is this what they're doing? I feel like Mike Tyson's punch out is an actual perfect depiction of what would happen if one of us tried to fight Mike Tyson.
100%.
Maybe one tap on him that does nothing and hope you can dodge two hits before you die.
Yep.
You know what
I
mean?
It was very realistic. And I actually did you guys ever beat Mike Tyson?
Nope.
Did you ever beat him?
Nope. Once.
I beat him one time and I tried my whole life and then randomly I picked it up one time and I beat him. It was almost like the more you practiced against him, the worse you got at it.
It was the first AI.
Anticipating like the punches.
I wonder at like what age, because as people get older, like, you know, there's an age where certain people get where you're like, man, I could beat them up. Like, that's crazy. I never thought I could beat up that person. I wonder, is there an age where one of us could beat up Mike? Right now, he'd still smoke us, annihilate.
Yeah.
There's not even
a question. Dude, he looks so intimidating in his last, like, just when he was training for his boxing match, I wouldn't even want to mess with him.
I feel like he's got to be like 98 before I could have a touch.
Every once in a while, I'll go back and I'll watch just the early highlights when he was like 18 to 22 years old. It was unbelievable.
Actually, scary.
Scary. It was super scary. And just watching him when he talked, and then to put that into a video game. And like as a kid, you kind of knew who he was too, but it was like so intimidating. Yeah. So, man, that's a good one. Yeah, I had not thought of that. That is a really great one.
Dang. I would love like the Mike Tyson impressions. I want to see who could do the best.
Not today. If he ever listens, I'm scared. He will never listen. He'll never listen.
How about you, Ricky?
Ricky?
Ooh. So for me, I like Lord Sadler. I don't think you guys know who that is.
Adam Sandler. Nice. I don't know who that is.
It's this dude in Resident Evil 4, but he's everywhere and you can never get him like right off the bat. And he beats you every single time for like two times or something like that. I can't remember, but dude, I loved him as a boss. I thought he was a pretty bad to the bone boss. I loved it.
Lord he is Sadler. Pretty good. I like Sadler, but I was going to say Resident Evil as well, but I love Wesker.
Oh,
like,
Wesker is good.
From one, two, three. And then I would even throw Tyrant in with that. Like when you got to fight Tyrant at the end of like Resident Evil 1.
Nemesis.
Or Nemesis.
Nemesis.
Nemesis is probably even better because he was like running around.
I like Nemesis.
Like when you heard the footsteps coming, you like that, like in like put fear into you. Because you're like, where is he?
Ricky and I have a thing to this day where every time someone says Nemesis, we go, and that's because we used to play the Marvel vs. Capcom game. And when you would pick Nemesis, it would go, Nemesis. So me and my son and his son, we just keep pressing the button and go, Nemesis, Nemesis,
It's so good.
That was our thing.
I think, you go.
I was just going to continue on with the Resident Evil. So you think Sadler over Wesker, though, huh?
Now that you say it like that, Wesker is pretty darn good.
I think Wesker was debating on coming to SoCal.
Really?
Get out of here, really.
The voice? Or like
voice, yeah.
What?
Right now we have Jill Valentine. She's in there for sure. Ooh. John St. John's coming.
Oh. And just to interrupt them, if you guys don't have your tickets yet, it is coming up very soon. I'm telling you right now.
You need to jump in.
The link in the description right now.
It's going to be awesome this year.
It's going to be great.
We have so much stuff
planned. It's actually becoming insane.
Yeah, there's a lot going on between guests, all the different things we're working on, arcade machines, events, exhibits. It's going to be awesome.
It's literally getting insane.
It's literally been a shout out leading up every day.
There'll be like a shout out every day of new people coming and things happening. And this is with months out. So this isn't even me trying to pretend. This is just, I'm telling you.
Dude,
yeah, and we are working on it every single day. How many times do we talk and coordinate all day long?
All day long. God, Chris, stop texting me. I'm just trying to run.
I'm telling you, it's coming up quick. June 8th and June 9th,
Chris,
guys.
Who you got?
I got oh my gosh. I was going to say Ganondorf, but that's pretty typical. But
it's a great one, though.
It's a great one.
It's a really great one, too.
Shaka Khan?
Yes.
Shaka Khan?
Dude, I feel like, huh?
You said Shaka Khan.
It's like Attila the Hun.
He starts naming real life people. He's like, dude, Hitler.
No, I feel, I feel like he's just one of those iconic characters in Mortal Kombat that you face time in and time out, and he just is like a beast.
Yeah.
For me. And then Ganondorf, I mean, like every time Zelda's ever, like you've ever had to face him with Link, it's like,
yeah,
he's my favorite out of all time, but I didn't want to be typical.
I know he is typical, but I would have to say Ganon is like he's probably the best villain, I feel like.
Of all time.
And he has gotten more and more bad as he goes along. Like in the newer ones, when you're playing like Tears of the Kingdom, like at the end when you're fighting him and he's like ginormous like Ganon, awesome.
I
have a good one.
It's perfect
On the world of Resident Evil and those type of games, Silent Hill 2, we got Pyramid Head.
That's
one of my favorite
so good
depictions. I think Ricky has pointed it out before, something about how lanky and tall and skinny he is, but he's still slow, and the inability to see and the ungodly size of his sword being dragged. That, if you've seen the movie too,
I have. I love that movie. It's one of my favorites.
That's one of my favorite, most iconic. But I have one more. Let me get another one.
Go ahead. Go good.
The Red Falcon, which is the final boss in Contra.
Oh wow!
Nice. The heart, bro. Technically, that's the final boss's name.
Final boss is technically
why is it called the Red Falcon?
It's called the Red Falcon.
Why?
In Contra 3, the Alien Wars, you kind of get a better depiction of the face and what it looks like in the intro scene when the red face comes in the sky.
Dude, I like the metal guy that's a skeleton.
That's an amazing
boss. Hands,
and then he goes, and he's like,
freaked me out a little bit. I was like, yo.
That's a good level.
That was a great one.
Oh, Curtis is putting on.
I'm putting it on. You guys got more?
Because I have plenty more if not.
No, I do. One that I always love is the end boss in Super Smash Brothers 64.
Oh, the hands.
The hand, master hand.
Master hand.
Dude, I mean, keep your pimp hands strong. That thing was right.
That thing is sick, dude. The master hands are actually – what a fun – I think there's something to it with – aren't you technically toys? I heard like a theory thing that like your toys, because if you look at the intro, you basically look like amiibos. They're all on little stands like statues, and then they come and grab you and move you around. I think you're technically fighting the hands that play with you.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Where was it?
So technically there's another hand holding you while you're fighting this hand.
Is that where amiibos spawn from? Was that game? I don't know.
No, because
they were the trophies, remember? You could get trophies from it.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm not saying they are, but that's kind of – I heard something about it years ago. Actually, I helped a guy make a video about it years ago, which is why I feel really dumb. But I more did editing. But he did talked about it a lot, and it was interesting. Chris's hat, Star Fox.
Uncle Andross.
Uncle Andross.
He's honestly legit.
Dang, that's a good one.
Star Fox 64.
They even designed him to look.
I didn't even know.
What?
I don't think I ever beat that game.
That's not even a hard game.
I don't even remember 20 minutes. Andross.
Yeah, Ricky.
What does he look like? I don't even remember.
He's just a giant head with hands. But then he turns into like a giant robot.
He's like a polygon head.
Yeah.
Dang.
I don't think I ever got there.
Take that hat off. When he's like. Poser.
You go. He's like one of the
When he's sucking the ship in, it's like. I love it. It's weird, but cool.
You need to beat it tonight.
Maybe I will.
That is crazy. You're like one of the Star Fox fans too.
Chris, I'll take that hat. Don't worry, doggy.
Not only did you not just drop $800 on like a Star Fox competition shirt.
I do like everything Star Fox. I do. But I don't think I ever beat it. No, I played the games. I have played them, but I don't think I ever got to the end boss. The first one on Super Nintendo.
I do like 64 is my favorite, but I do like Super Nintendo.
64. How do you guys feel of Dr. Neo Cortex as being one of them?
For Crash Bandicoot.
Oh, he was good.
He's not one of my favorite enemies, but I do like him. I like his wackiness.
He kind of gives me that like Dr. Robotnik vibe if like against Sonic, but also like if it's like Crash versus Dr.
Yeah.
Neo Cortex.
I also feel like we're going to get in trouble if we don't mention Bowser.
Yeah,
Bowser.
Oh.
Another one I would mention too, Sephiroth from Final Fantasy.
Oh, Super Mario 64. Awesome.
That's the best Bowser.
Which one?
64.
Yes.
Yeah, and Bowser's classic.
Where you swing him around, like,
this is the best
and
thing
he hits the bomb.
I have to jump in with your Sephiroth. That's a good one. I'm not a Final Fantasy guy, but I know Sephiroth, his power.
Yes. And some of those end battles were just so epic. And when it kept like changing scenes and stuff, and you're like up in the sky in the heavens, it was awesome.
Dude, that is,
you know,
you beat that,
the cutscenes.
Right? You beat Final Fantasy VII before?
Yeah.
You know, another one I like, I don't know if you guys will know it as well, but did you guys ever beat Super Punch Out?
I don't think I beat that one. I don't know. I beat her.
One of my favorite characters, and I think it's genius for what the game is. It's a guy named Narcisse Parence, and he's basically a narcissist. So the way you beat him is by hitting his face. So, and every time you hit his face, he goes, oh, and he covers his face because he's embarrassed and he doesn't want you to touch his face. And I think it's such a funny dynamic that he's a boxer and his whole thing is like, you cannot touch my face.
He's the end guy.
No, he's not. He's one of them. Well, he's close to the end. He's one of the Rick Bruiser. Yeah, Rick and Nick Bruiser are the final guys. But
dang, I mean, if we're talking Punch Out, I would throw King Hippo into that too.
Because he was gnarly. That fight
of all of the fights was like the most not iconic, but most unique.
Pretty iconic.
It was iconic and unique though. Like I just remember getting to Hippo and I was like, yes, I get to fight Hippo. Like it was such a fun
battle.
What
about Bald Bull too?
Bald Bull was good.
I was waiting for you. You got to fight Curtis, the king.
One thing that I think is funny is in Super Punch-Out, there's a guy named Dragon Chan, which is basically Bruce Lee. And you beat him, and he's so salty that he loses. And you go on to almost at the end of the game, and it's just clearly him and Drag. And he changes his name to Heike Kagero. And you're like, wait a sec. It's literally just the same dude. Puts on a wig and some makeup, and he's like, I'm a different fighter. He fights you. Such a good twist on it. I know Punch-Out has gotten a lot of trouble, not trouble, but people being like, oh, they're doing a lot of stereotyping in that, because every character is, you know, the Indian guy is wearing the turban and the Italian guy is holding a flower and doing his little dances.
So they're doing what normal things are, I guess, yes. Right?
Yeah. I mean, come on. Yeah. Oh, Chris is offended.
No, I was thinking if there was another Punch-Out game that ever came out after the Wii one.
Yeah.
That was the last one.
How
was that Little Mac, right? It was the cover?
Yeah.
Yes, with the green gloves.
Mm-hmm.
How dumb that there isn't another Punch Out.
Yeah, that's what I was just thinking. I'm like, why is there not a remake of that?
No, I think that would be a hot cake right there if that came out, because that's like one of, not even like a subgenre of Nintendo popularity. That's like a big popular.
Or even if somebody did like an indie game, like in that style, like something similar to that. I'm surprised nobody's done that.
I think what made Switch hold off is they did ARMS right away. And that was like their boxing game, which in my opinion, I didn't really like it. It was fine at best. To me.
And boxing on Wii was actually on like Wii Sports is pretty fun if you've ever played
it. Oh, it's so fun.
It's so fun. So it is fun. Really fun.
Now, it's not the best game on Wii Sports.
It's terrible, but it's so fun because it's so bad.
What's the best game on Wii Sports?
Bowling. Or do bowling.
Baseball is pretty good, too.
Oh,
baseball
is pretty good. I'm a big fan of the boxing.
The boxing is hilarious.
And that slows it down.
Golf is my favorite one on there.
It's really so good. Frustrating, the boxing. Like you're trying to do
no, so you could do that, right? But like there was like a method. Like if you slowed it like this, it would give you like a slow motion punch and where you just
did you use the Wii Fit board? Because you needed that to make it like even more legit.
I never did that.
No.
I didn't either.
Did anybody, on a Wii Fit board? Yeah, no.
I think one of them you could.
No.
I could have sworn you could. Maybe I'm just
he was
imagining
over here doing
it.
Zumba. He's like, this is great boxing.
That's why I was losing. I was Zumbaing the entire time.
Man, that's a good conversation because there's just so many enemies that are I think Guy Guest from Earthbound, even though I'm not a big Earthbound guy, watching just Let's Plays of people beat it, it's just such a big, mysterious creature. I like all the games that play into like the massive, like Shadow of the Colossus.
Oh, right? That
like,
is awesome.
Massive
so
enemies.
Good.
Where when you see it, it's almost like the scariest thing you could see like in a movie, right? Like in a movie when they look up and the enemy's 50 to the moon almost. It's like that is just a perspective that brings in true fear.
I mean, all the people, I'm playing God of War right now and all those boss battles are just incredible.
Curtis,
I'm surprised you didn't choose Dr. Willy.
Dr. Wily.
Dr. Wily. Yeah.
Although in the anime, they call Dr. Wily.
Really?
Oh, yeah. The voice acting gets real bad once you jump into some of the newer ones.
Curtis, how do you like the Gears of War bosses?
Like those Myra.
Are legit.
My favorite like enemy is Cantus, which is like one of the Scourge and all.
Yeah.
And Scourge is also another one that's actually like
Scourge is a gameplay style, right?
No. Scourge is like one of the bosses. Like he was just a baller. Like he just never seemed to die.
I used to play Gears of War a lot, but always just like jumping in with Ricky. It was never like starting it from scratch for myself. So it was always Ricky.
Oh, I loved it.
So like,
I love it too.
I always compare like Gears of War's like earlier games, like 1, 2, and 3 to like the Halo story, like 1, 2, and 3. They were just bar none. One of the best stories campaigns that I've ever got to play.
Does Ben's mic work?
I don't, he could.
Ben, who's a character that you like over there for an enemy?
For a villain?
Yeah.
Tetris.
A Tetris block.
I was going to say Bowser, but you guys covered that guy.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Sorry. Sorry.
How about Wario?
I'm going to say Birdo.
Birdo, let's go. I like
that's pretty good, Ben.
You know what another good one is? Fanto. When you grab the key in Super Mario 2, you grab the key, and then as soon as you pick it up, that face starts floating.
That's
a good one.
Birdo was awesome, though, Ben. Those battles were so fun when you got to fight them.
Yeah, it's kind of easy, not too difficult, but yeah.
It was, Wart from Mario 2?
I was going to say, I'm surprised you didn't say that.
Wario's one, right?
Oh, yeah.
Wario and Waluigi, they're a good call.
King Boo.
Dude, what about the swords from RPG? What's his name?
Smithy.
I feel like Metroid needs an honorable mention in here. Like Ridley and Mother Brain are incredible.
The Mother Brain is a good one.
I mean, when you got to the end of the NES version, it was just that Mother Brain in the case. That was pretty epic.
Have you seen the Captain N version of Mother Brain?
I have not.
Frightening looking.
Like in the comic book?
In the show. In
the show. The show.
It is horribly ugly.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I've never seen that.
Dang.
I was actually surprised you didn't bring up like Revolver Ocelot.
I mean Metal Gear Solid is good, and what was the other one? I liked Psycho Mantis was good.
Psycho Mantis was good.
Really good. I like that one.
Like Fight Rex.
Ocelot was good.
Yeah,
yeah.
There is one on here that we didn't say, but it's the Joker from Batman Arkham Knight.
Technically, that could be movie going
that
into movies
is too.
Yeah.
But I mean, like Joker has been one of those iconic characters that seems to just play that role of being the worst.
And what about movie bad guys?
Ooh, we're gonna touch on that again.
Good one.
That's gonna be a good one.
Next time,
jot that down. Movie bad guys is a great topic,
dude. You couldn't have nailed it any perfect. Like okay. That was like perfect.
I like that. All right,
Perfect. All right, we're going to go on to our next one. It's going to be agree or disagree. And I got to get the little cards. I was setting up. I messed up.
All right, Curtis, don't worry. We have a good conversation while you're gone. While Curtis is gone, guys, what is your favorite type of lasagna? Meat, veggie, or Curtis's mom? Blue cheese. No.
I would put blue cheese. For anybody lasagna. Who
missed our podcast on the condiments, we ranked condiments, and it was by far and large probably the most text messages I've got from awesome. People who seem to love it, even though it was just us.
Defenders of blue cheese. They are out
new,
here.
That's a new jacket. Yes. Defenders of blue cheese.
How many came out? There were a lot of them.
Those are like five. Closet blue cheese lovers.
Yeah.
So should good. We just start on that one just so we can crap on
nah, them? No, save it, bro.
All right. Hey. We're going to go on to our first one. It's going to be building Legos is actually fun.
Building Legos is actually fun. I'm going to say
I agree.
No.
And why?
Because I built Legos for Christmas and they were fun until I got my son Lego Technics. And this is brutally ridiculous. Like, I feel like I needed an engineering degree. And I talked to my friend who Legos is like his thing. He's like, oh, you got Lego Technics? Yeah, you let me guess, you hated it. And I'm like, yes. It was brutal. Like 6 hours a night trying to put together a car. You're building engines that move and crank certain ways, and then pistons get attached to them. And you do one thing wrong, take it apart. I built a Bugatti. It's in my son's room with half of it unput together.
Is it a big one?
Pretty big.
Yeah.
Half of it is not put together in my son's room because I missed a little like one piece somewhere and one piston wouldn't fire in the right way, which wouldn't close the door and which wouldn't do this. And I was like,
no, you screw. You gave up on it?
Oh, I almost smashed it.
Oh my God.
No one ripped. He probably would have been like, dude, this is not worth my time.
Yeah, I almost smashed it.
Dang.
I was mad. I was really mad.
Dang.
Yeah, but it's the only one.
I just built an Aston Martin with my son, which is a Technics. How old is your was oh, your
thanks,
son?
Thanks, man. They're sorry. Thanks, Chris. Did you really with Technics? Build.
But I was how old was your son when you were building it?
It was recent.
This was like a month ago.
But he's younger than my son, right?
No, they're both 13. Hey, thanks, man.
But you got yours running.
The camera away from
we
me. Got,
oh, ours is perfect. We play with it all the time. Pistons fire.
Here's the question, though. did you have when you were a kid?
What's that?
Did you have when you were a kid?
Not the Technics stuff.
No, just like Legos.
Just Legos. When I was a kid, I played with them. Rich. And built them.
That's what I was going to say. If he didn't have them, you wouldn't enjoy them as much. No, I would just
play with mud in the backyard.
Picking worms out of your...
I was going to say, I enjoy playing them because me and my son, we do build them. We'll play games and we'll build while we're playing games. Nice. We did just do the Technics thing.
You guys like super geniuses? Like playing video games with toes? All
I
do is
I pick out the pieces and then I give them to him and I let him build it.
Oh, so your son did it. All right. Nice. Yeah.
Nice. He's claiming it like we build it. No.
He puts it all together. But I help. But I enjoy them.
That's funny. So you got yours actually up and running.
We did. Yeah.
Dang, Riff. That's a flex. Ricky, do you have like a memory like of building Legos?
Oh, dude. Gabe all the time would he was like the Lego king. This kid, we'd get him the biggest Legos. And at the end, I'd be like almost done like finishing them. But he wouldn't even play with the Legos anymore. He only want the guys. And then he'd disappear and go play with the little guys. I thought it was amazing. I was like, dude, we bought like tons of them. And at the end, he just had a shelf full of like Star Wars Legos.
Cool, guys. Awesome.
I don't remember Legos being so expensive.
Oh my gosh, they're so expensive.
Every expensive. Set that I go to look at now is like 80 to 100 bucks.
Oh, the Ecto one's like 280.
If it's above 500 pieces or whatever it is, it says on the box. Yeah. That is literally
now like... Now it's like everything. I went into work the other day and the guy who literally sits next to me is a huge Lego guy. That's like his world. And he had like flowers all around the office. And I was like, what are these? But they're all Legos. Mm-hmm. And they have like weird shapes. It almost like isn't Lego... It oh, is, yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's like not even square blocks anymore. It's like round shapes. It looks like a flower. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, that's interesting.
It's because they have such a lock on that market. I mean, who is the competitors?
Mega Bloks.
Yeah, I was going to say Roblox, but it's not Roblox. Mega Bloks, but nobody wants Mega Bloks.
Bionicle?
No.
Like if Minecraft. You get Mega Bloks, you're like, ugh, Mega Bloks.
Yeah, like, and it was always like Halo.
So downgraded from Lego.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah, like they control like,
what,
that.
What am I, poor? Like,
oh, God. Dude, I remember, like, I go to Best Buy and I'm like, I look on the shelf, I'm like, oh, my friends go, hey, we want to build some Legos. I go, all right, I'm like, all right, I'm gonna go get me a set. I go there and it's like $80 for a Mandalorian head.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all right, this is not fun.
For plastic.
But it was fun building it at the end of it. But it was like, man, my wallet hurt.
Yeah.
Pretty bad. All right, we're gonna go on our next one. It's gonna be professional sports are rigged.
Ooh.
Agree or disagree?
Agree.
I knew Ricky was gonna say agree. I knew that.
Heck yeah.
I don't, I'm gonna go with kind of an unopinion because I don't really watch sports enough to know. Although I did go down a wormhole the other day of this YouTube shorts feed that came in my feed, and it started being like when refs forget what they're paid for. And it was like the weirdest things of like people like about to score and then stopping, and the ref is like, oh, hold on, I take that back. And it was like the end of the game when that person was, it was just like some weird stuff. I'm going to go undecided and let Ricky explain.
All right.
What are your thoughts?
All right. So I've seen, I used to watch sports all the time, but nowadays I started watching it again and I noticed like there's a lot of weird calls, weird things happening. And I thought it was crazy. And I was like, ah, it's just me. I'm not noticing. And then I started seeing YouTubers like post all this stuff. And in my head, I'm like, dude, they'd be dumb not to actually do it. You know why? That's a $1 billion industry, just gambling. The Vegas industry, dude, you can make a killing. And these guys are that good that they can do it. It's like WWF, but sports. You can do whatever you want. But if you're that good, you can fake stuff.
So when you say the word rig, though, like there's a like you think like in the NFL, like the whole NFL yeah. is in on it, and they have a master plan of who is going to win the Super Bowl. Do you believe that, or do you believe like there's a player maybe that like might
that for sure.
throw a game
that for
or
sure.
a boxer that might throw a match?
For of course, sure.
that I think happens. It's some players, but I think it's mainly the refs because I see it more on the ref side, and I'm just like, yo, happen, I'm like, course. This is weird. Did you guys notice at the Super Bowl like a couple of times the first down for I can't remember who it was for Chiefs? It was supposed to be second or third down, and it gave them the first down, and I'm like. Nicole, did you see, like, I was asking my wife, I'm like, did you see that? She's like, no, what are you talking about? She doesn't understand football.
What are you talking about?
Shut up. Quit talking to me.
But then she literally came back the next day. She's like, you were right. I'm like, what? She's like, some dude recorded. She showed me the video on YouTube. I'm like, I knew it wasn't crazy, but there's some weird, I don't know.
But you also got to think like on the on field, it was correct. It was just not correct on the TV screen.
Mm.
So, I mean, there's probably just a disconnect right there. I don't think that people who put their time and energy into sports and put their dedication into it is going to just throw a game.
I mean,
you're offered $1 billion by a
local. I would say prop bets are a bad thing because it's like, all right, so a prop bet is like if they can guess the Gatorade color, it gets dumped on the coach, the winning coach.
Yeah,
right?
That's
yeah.
Different.
So,
and that's insider trading, I feel like, in a little bit, because you could just find somebody on the staff and be like, hey, what's going to be the color?
So I went a little into that hole, like the weird hole thing, like how it originally the Super Bowl was supposed to go to Baltimore and San Francisco. That's why the colors were that color for the Super Bowl. And then once everyone started talking, I saw all these YouTube videos on it. Oddly enough, it changed. And I'm like, what the heck? What's going on? And that's when the Chiefs made it. Because the Chiefs.
Your opinion. So I have to disagree strongly against 100%. This.
But you believe WWF is real.
I do.
WWF
is real. No, I do love WWF, but I don't think it is real. But with professional sports, I feel like that concept of like you're talking about with it being like the Super Bowl being completely rigged and they're in on it with the colors being released, that means that there was like master planning of this taking place. I find it very, very hard to believe if there's that many people in on something that word doesn't get out that like this was actually rigged. So it's never came out.
COVID.
I mean,
but look, I kind of just think it falls into like these theories where that people,
yeah.
It's fun to think about it, that it's rigged, but then to have that many people in on like a whole
okay, what about individual
like
players?
So that I like somebody got to refs, like a ref, I think years ago in basketball.
And let me make this clear. I looked at what refs make. They don't make a lot of money. Even the Super Bowl ref.
Yeah.
It was like a mafia thing. They got to the ref or something. And he got arrested for it finally. So you certainly could get to like a ref or a player or a boxer. But this concept of a much bigger scheme.
Like an organization.
I just can't buy it.
I'm just saying it is rigged. Like either someone's rigging it, like even little, like a couple of people here and there. But there's some weird.
Ricky's saying maybe it's not.
So here's the master test. I tested this with my buddies. They were all theorists of the NFL being rigged.
Ooh,
in the colors fantasy and all league. That.
Yeah, yeah.
And what I said to them, they were like, oh, it's rigged, San Francisco, or the Chiefs are going to win. Chiefs are good. Well, then Chiefs did end up winning.
Yeah, I even called the score.
just proved the theory wrong.
But the Chiefs did end up winning. But what I kept saying then was, I was like, okay, then if you're so confident in it, go put all your money on it. If you believe your theory so much, but nobody put any money on it. They should have at the end of the day. Yeah. Like, oh, okay, they did end up winning. But they were all Chiefs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what gets to me about it, and again, I'm not a sports guy. This just goes for anything in the world, right? Is, but let's take something like the NFL. The money that comes into that is unfathomable. It's not like, oh, it's pretty good. I mean, it's unfathomable money that the people that can bet on this is unfathomable amounts of money. That's the only word I can use.
Yeah.
So I can't imagine a player being like, hey, you'll probably get signed in your life, you'll make $50 million. I'll give you $100 million today if you throw this game, Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I don't know how easy it'd be to say no to that. For 20 minutes of your life, be like,
But the NFL is such a complex game.
Yeah.
To actually throw something, you would need refs, players, defenses.
You could just play as crappy as possible. Right? Yeah. It'd be like, it's not the same level, but say I was on a skateboarding tournament. Hey, don't win this. Purposely don't learn the trick.
But boxing, I can see. Boxing is like, go out there and just, you get knocked out. Like, easy to just rig that. True. Right?
Well, check out the even the field goal that San Francisco missed. I was like, misses a field goal.
No,
like,
hey. I'm telling you right now, these guys
Can I finish this real quick?
I like not being a sports guy.
If they would have made that field goal, there would have been no overtime.
No, I'm telling you right now, there would have been overtime either way. But
I called the
everything
game.
Everything led up into this. I was like, that guy.
It was an extra point, I think you're talking about.
Yeah,
it was an extra point.
And that wasn't even his problem, right? It got batted down. So he wasn't trying to miss it. You know what I'm saying? These guys go out and they perform. Like, some players might be sketchy.
Dude,
I'm not saying that.
For sure. This kicker is amazing, though. I've seen this guy. He's good. He doesn't miss that kind of stuff.
It wasn't his fault that a ball got batted down. Somebody just got the upper edge and he got a hand on it and then missed it.
I just like playing the devil's advocate.
I know.
I love it.
It makes for better conversation.
I know. It just makes money.
Who's to say I didn't pay Ricky off to make the podcast more interesting?
I just find it funny because it's like sports, like baseball and football, they produce like t-shirts and hats prior to the event even being over. Like, World Series hats are made, and that way, if they do win, they all come out.
That throws you off, bro. It's throw you off the scent.
I just know when there's so much money involved in anything, I feel like things are swayed. I mean, like, government, you know, on either side. It's like, it's just so easy to sway people with things with that amount of money.
Yeah.
It's hard to say no matter who you are to hundreds of millions of dollars.
There's going
to
be so many little theory people.
Oh, I love it.
Educate
me. I don't know anything about sports.
They're going to be like, dude, everything's rigged. Yeah. It's just like somebody playing in Halo and they're like, I'm not screen looking. They're definitely cheating.
Oh, we all screen looking.
100%, dude. All right, we're going to go on our next one. It's going to be Philip CDI, The Legend of Zelda releases were actually good games.
No.
Terrible.
Garb.
And I was like, everybody across the board is disagreeing.
Everybody's saying no. Hey, at least we all agree on something today.
We agree. Ben, do you agree over there? Was it bad?
I've never played them, actually. They kind of look like garbage, so probably. Bad.
Just looking at the gameplay, you could just tell this thing is just garbage. That's why I don't understand why they're so expensive.
Well, what's crazy, if you look at even the cutscenes, it's mind-boggling how bad the animations are. Like, Link will be talking to me like, gee, sure it's crazy around here. And his eyes are shaking on one side. This is going that way. It's like, mouth disappears. When the scene comes in, and then the character pops in like 2 seconds later, they're not even right with their frame animations. It's a literal who made it?
Philip CDI.
Was it straight up Philip CDI that published this game and developed the game? You don't have to look it up, but
I mean, I'm not the smartest bunch, but I just thought, man, it is a terrible game.
At least we all agreed on something. I'm glad you brought us together up that sports one. I wanted Ricky and Chris to talk longer together. That was fun.
All right, I want this one. All right, Shaq Fu was a shacked poo of a game.
Shaq Fu, I will say it is poo. Thumbs up.
It was poo. Thumbs down.
Wait, it's not poo.
It is poo.
Oh, so is that thumbs up?
That's thumbs up.
All right, it's poo.
Well,
I didn't play it. I haven't really played it that much.
Here's the thing. Shaq Fu became known in the early days of retro YouTube hunting to be the worst fighting game. I will say Pit Fighter is much worse, but I think it just became like a cult status crap game. But it wasn't as bad as the status that the game is like the worst. It's like the movie Kung Pao. It got rated like the worst movie of all time. And Ricky and I are like, what? And now people love it. And I'm like, Ricky and I have loved that movie since the day it came out. So it's just like, I think cult status sometimes can follow things bigger than what they are.
True.
So
Superman 64 took over after that.
They did do Shaq Dirty.
Dude, Shaq is such a cool dude, man. They Shaq did is all dirty. Good. DJ Diesel, baby. That's his name.
Kazam, bro. You guys remember that?
Gold Bond. What's he use? Gold Bond? Is that his thing?
Icy Hot.
Dude, he is the king of commercials.
Free throws. Oh, no.
General Now.
The 1-800 General Now.
He's on that one, too.
Yeah.
I remember I was considering buying K-Swiss's, I think, because he was on a commercial with K-Swiss.
Dude, I saw Mr. T is doing Skechers, but they're like totally the worst looking Skechers on earth.
They did him dirty.
Mr. T's always in Skechers. I'm like, no, you're not.
It's funny because Skechers just signed Snoop Dogg, too.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Right. Told my hood stories earlier.
Yeah,
I did work on Snoop Dogg's original house.
You told me that before because he is from Long Beach.
Yep, on Lime Avenue.
Did it in the dog pound, baby. That's what he's.
I was in the dog pound, and it was everything you would have thought.
Was it Skechers?
That's awesome.
More than Skechers. It was frightening. I literally was walking up and could hear people screaming and throwing things. I was like, "Wow, this is all right." He wasn't lying about where he grew up. He grew up good. Like, you know,
yeah, that there's just literally a stretch there that's just crazy bad.
Yeah.
Is that the video you sent me with that person yelling? Was that by his house?
I don't know. I send you guys videos every day.
Dude, he sends some crazy ones, like demonic noises. Like, outside.
Oh, I sent you that. There was a person like doing like a demon ritual in front of their house.
Like, I was like, what the heck is this?
I'll kill you.
Yeah, I'm not joking.
Like, no, 100% real. They sent a video of it.
Really?
Yeah. Dude, he got some crazy videos.
I'm going to die.
All right, this is going to be the best one out of all of them. Blue cheese is for old farts.
100%
agreed.
Agree.
And I didn't want to say the way Aaron had
it. No way. Turn that around. Disagree on this. I will convert you guys eventually. Okay. I'm gonna bring blue cheese with me everywhere, and I'm just gonna give you a little drop, little by little.
Go ahead, Aaron.
What are you gonna get? How about this? Just think. All right, I hate blue cheese. Chris, you have to convince me otherwise. Where are you gonna take me to eat, and how am I gonna eat blue cheese to convince me? Like, oh, this is pretty good.
Hey, when Lance shot that the picture of the blue cheese on the burger, it actually looked all right.
You might like blue cheese on a chicken sandwich. Like a spicy chicken sandwich might be your thing. took you to a wing place, it's probably too much blue cheese because when you dip it in the blue cheese and you put it in your mouth, you're getting a blast of blue cheese.
It was bad.
So that I don't think you would like.
That was Arkansas blue cheese.
And Rick said he likes blue cheese, by the way.
He likes too. Arkansas blue cheese.
So we did realize that it is an East Coast versus West Coast thing, we think.
Yes.
East Coast, all my East Coast buddies came to my defense, and a lot of East Coasters
came to my defense,
called you guys mangy West Coasters, which I thought was awesome.
Sophisticated, snooty taste buds, bro.
Dude, I always remember when we were in Arkansas, and he goes, yeah, we have this Chinese place. It's pretty good. That's Retro Rick's taste buds, dude.
Retro Rick's garbage.
Dude.
Horrible.
It's bad.
It's like, remember Home Depot? Home Depot. Hometown Buffet.
I do.
Okay, two step downs from that. That was the Chinese buffet.
But Rick loved it.
Dude, he was like, I go to this place all the time.
He swears by it.
Yeah, I admit, Rick, I'll say it to the camera now. I love you, but when you're in Arkansas, there was maybe like one or two places we went that were...
The Mexican place was good.
The Mexican place was one of them. Oh, that was pretty good.
That was good.
And then like... Chick-fil-A, which they have everywhere.
No, we just kept going to Chipotle and kept getting mad.
We're good to go to Chipotle, man. He's like, no, you got to try this place. I was like, do I?
Pizza in blue cheese is pretty good,
okay,
too.
Okay, convince me. I will say this. We will update you guys if I am convinced.
If we had some good slices of pizza and you dipped it in blue cheese, I would say blue cheese with pizza, wings, and on a spicy chicken sandwich.
We can go to Sergeant Pepperoni's after.
Dude.
I would love to.
That place is so good.
Where? I would love to.
Sergeant Pepperoni's.
Oh.
No, I remember.
I've never been, but it sounds good.
It's amazing.
I remember I was in this place when I was a little kid, and I had hot wings at this place called Coach's, and there was two dipping sauces.
I know that place.
There was, I thought it was ranch, and the other one was blue cheese, right?
Oh, yeah. I got that.
I dipped my thing thinking it was ranch.
Oh, yeah.
And I went to buy it.
Tasted the best thing you've ever tasted. No,
I instantly went like this. I couldn't find a napkin fast enough.
Yeah.
Projectile vomiting.
I was like this. I was like.
That's like when I used to drink soda. That's like when you think it's soda, but it's like hot coffee or tea. It can be something good. But it's just when you sip it and your mind's telling you it's something else, yeah. It immediately tastes disgusting.
Makes it worse.
Even if it's not disgusting.
And that's what swore me off ranch, too, because I was like, I'm never making that mistake again.
I like
too.
This challenge, though. We'll work on this. We'll get you
I'll
guys
let you
there.
Buy me all the meals you want.
I'm going to just do it one little drip at a time until you're okay. Like, yeah, all right. Blue cheese. Yeah,
okay. Hold them to it. Hold them to
and
it.
Listen, I am more than open to try it on other stuff. I just have yet to have it where I'm like, yummy. I'm always like, nice. Donkey butthole.
All right. Look, this one's a little bit more topical because it's now what's happening right now is the Apple Vision Pro is a garbage like thing. Have you seen people walking around?
Oh, yeah. I've watched Ryan Trahan's video, Marquise Brownlee.
Agree or disagree across the board. I would
is
say,
it garbage?
Is it garbage?
I'm going to say no, but I have to follow up that.
I would say yes.
I'm going to say no.
I'm not sure exactly even what it's doing yet. What can you do when you put that thing on?
You can watch.
Live.
Can you
basically live your life?
You can. It's like Tony Stark. You know Tony Stark on Iron Man, how you can do certain things?
You can see through. Kind of like that. Then it has.
But you see through it.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's but a you can thing see in outside, front of yeah, you. Yeah. Have yeah. you any, has anybody tried it yet?
No, but I've watched all the in-depth
There's
videos.
A zillion videos.
I've like seen the people walking around, like stumbling on the streets and stuff like that.
So what's your, it's garbage reason?
The reason I think it's garbage is there's really no point for you. It's the same as your phone.
Got it.
Other than the fact that, like, oh, I could put a wallpaper in front of my face. I'm on the moon. Does that really matter for me?
I think that it's just one step towards
chipping your brain.
Dumber. I know that's a dumb word to use. Like,
yeah.
It's just like we already are so disconnected as a society with people at lunches. I mean, go look around next to me at dinner. People are not staring at each other, staring down.
Yep. Yeah.
The minute somebody walks away, gotta like do something. You can't just like whistle and look. I mean, I know not being an old man, but I just think it's one step further that's just like a little too far, right? Like let me see. I don't like when I can't see people's faces, right? And communicate with them. Like if I walked up to someone and someone tried to have a conversation with me, then I'm like, dude, take those off, dude. You buffoon. Like let me see your eyes. I don't trust you already. Like I don't know what you're doing, you know. You could be watching freaking corn, you know, while I'm sitting there talking to you. So I don't know. I don't like it. I think they're obviously really cool and unique and they can do a lot of stuff. But I just think it's another step towards unnecessary tech.
Yeah, you do.
I heard somebody talking about this recently. It was an AI guy. And he was saying originally when AI came out, the idea was to like create an AI world where we go into it. And he was saying that now they're kind of reversing that where like this world is good enough. Let's bring more AI into the real world.
I think Meta was trying to be more what you said, the first one.
The first one, like you're
the Facebook. I remember that, virtual, the metaverse. Hey, shake hands in the metaverse. I was like, what?
No, shake hands.
I mean, other than like Ready Player One, where they're obviously going in, we're not at that stage. To me, when I look around, like this is a pretty awesome, might already be AI. Anyway, by the way, I do believe in that theory.
Simulation.
Right? It's just a simulation, but.
Says the guy who didn't think sports are rigged. that's the one
theory. Then the sports are totally rigged. It's all just a script. But if Apple Vision is kind of maybe that in between where you're still in this real world, but you're seeing some stuff, I could see some functional capabilities with that. Like I wouldn't want to walk around, but if I was sitting at a desk to sit down and work and there was some of that I could do, possibly I could see it.
Why did they make them look like that?
I think that's the only way they could get it to where it hits your whole peripheral.
I think
when
you think future, you think very like non-invasive, like, you know, in the movie, push a button and they're already, it's in there. I mean, I would never put that stuff
in my
body.
I don't think they're there yet. That's the thing.
I would never do it, by the way. Make that very clear. If it was like, install this into your body and you can see it. No, thank you. I'm good.
The only thing that I see useful for is the projection. Like if you were at home and you just want to play a video game or something, you know, you can just put on that little headset, but it's like you can do exactly what those glasses did where you can size it.
Yeah, AR glasses. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Where you can size it to a certain size and that's probably about it.
Yep.
For me, you do lose the social aspect. Like when people are walking out, like walking around with it, that's definitely something that would piss me off.
Yeah, that seems ridiculous.
And not a lot of things do.
Yeah.
Piss me off.
But I would like to try that thing before even fully judging it. I would like to see.
I just want to judge it because it's $4,000. It's $4,000.
Dude, really? What if you could edit really fast? Like, it'll help you edit. Like, that'd be pretty sick. What
it's
if
not
you could
help
use
me
it?
Edit fast.
No, I mean, dude, I've seen the weirdo stuff.
I need like physical touch of things to edit. I can't do like swipes. I don't even like using tablets for any sort of like, or phones for any sort of editing or anything.
I would have to have like 10 things going on while it's going on with the edit. I'd be like, yeah, music, another video is going. I have to have all that going in the background.
I mean, the way I look at it too, if you look at like, everybody was like, metaverse, it's the way of the future. It died so hard. Right. So who knows what Apple Vision, maybe it will be the next. But I feel like every time we push something like this, I feel like society and human beings start to realize you can't beat like human interaction. You just can't.
No, because this world is awesome as it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that that's what I was saying. Like that meta doesn't necessarily work because you're going into a whole nother world. And it's like, well, why leave this world to go to another world?
Which I get for people who feel like I don't fit with this world or I hate life and I hate people. Yeah. I get that to an extent. But, you know, I think there's also such thing as going too far and pushing people even further. I watch a lot of true crime stuff and it's always the very isolated people who end up doing the weirdest things.
I've seen your feed sometimes, just true crime.
Oh, you see my feed when you sign in. Yeah. I
love that stuff too.
I know. We need to get so people a little bit out more in society is what I'll say.
I didn't think you guys would be as in depth, but I really love that.
Thank you, Curtis.
Point of view.
Sometimes I try.
Yeah. 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 All right, so this is a fan topic, guys.
Ooh.
And yes, it's by Rolex 311. Cool name.
Rolex? You mean Rolex 311?
I mean, I can't afford that. Somebody who picked it up the other day, he's like, I got a Rolex, dude.
Dang.
You got flexed on the Rolex the other day.
I'm in the Rolex club
now. But all right, this topic is, what's something you're excited to collect now that were too cool or hated back then?
So I can put this away?
Yeah, you can put it away.
I was like, agreed.
That's why I said it's a fan topic.
Ooh, okay. So I'm going to have to pull out my notes for this one. I wrote notes on this one because I couldn't. Ricky, I know you said had one.
Oh, yeah. So for me, I guess when I was a kid, it wasn't really cool to collect toys. So I'm really into the hype of the Transformers and all that. Dude, I love Transformers, Voltron, all that stuff. When I was a kid, all the people in my neighborhood, they thought that was dorky.
Oh.
But there weren't like where I grew up, there no one collected that kind of stuff. There was barely gamers.
I didn't think about that. It's a very situational to where you grew up.
Yeah, because dude, it wasn't like I watched the show, but talking. I never.
Now we're going to be breaking Curtis's equipment. Chris, I told you not to play with that stuff.
Dang.
That'll be $20. No, I didn't think about that, though. Where you live is because you grew up, I wouldn't say hood, but not super nice.
It's pretty hood.
Yeah, pretty hood. You had two drive-bys. I'll say it's pretty hood.
And dead body next to my backyard. I saw it.
You know what's funny? As a joke, I literally, when it's said, what do you collect now? I put dead bodies. I never collected as a kid. Dark humor.
Dark humor. Part of my life. Come on, guys.
Yeah, come on, guys. Grow up.
So, I mean, like with Transformers, do you think that they're like, is it the older ones that you think that are
older
actually
ones? All the older ones. I even started collecting like the Hasbro wrestlers. That one of my buddies used to collect it, so that's why I want it. But it was like he was a lot younger than me, so I was kind of like the older kid of the neighborhood, and I was like, dang, that's cool, but I can't collect it because I'm too old. But now I have like, I have a lot of them.
I think what you have now that probably wasn't as collectible before was your wrestling stuff.
Dude, wrestling stuff's pretty legit.
That seems like it's a growing thing right now. Like it's just a trend that people are hitting with it.
Yeah.
It is weird to think about those things that you grew up with that were cool but became cool when you were just a little too old.
That's one for me that was Pokemon cards.
Yeah,
like
so
they came out
just for a little too old.
I was a little bit too old for them. They came out in 99, right? I'm a senior in high school in 1999. Mm. Like if you were playing with Pokemon cards as a senior in high school, like,
like come on, bro. Like,
come on.
Yeah. What are you, Curtis?
but now like I'm not a huge collector of Pokemon cards, but I appreciate them. I know them. I go through them all the time, of course, through my shops. I do collect Snorlax Pokemon cards. I like Snorlax a lot. So I have kind of a collection of Snorlax. If you told high school, 1999 me that I would be collecting Pokemon cards, I'd be like, get out of here. That was it was so little kiddie for
me. Yeah.
I was expecting to say Godzilla. Yeah.
Godzilla's always been awesome.
I mean, I feel like it just got this like recently. It's been getting the super hype.
I do like Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, the first series of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. But it's one of those things where when I, at the time of it coming out, I did remember kind of like having to closet it a little bit. Because I remember like mentioning it to a couple people and everyone was kind of like, And I was like, oh, back down. Like, don't. Like, I would never, bro. I was just checking out the Yellow Ranger and the Pink Ranger, bro. Put on, you know.
Pink Ranger.
Yeah, that's so terrible.
Oh, no, the Yellow Ranger.
I don't watch that.
when I wrote down this topic initially, my first response was, it was weird. Something that I was always, like, quiet about, but now I don't care. And it's not even collecting. It's just something that I liked. I would always listen to, like Mariah Carey and like love songs and like romantic, like Boys to Men. But I never would talk about it back then for anything. But I'm not saying like, oh, I liked it. Like I would close the door and like do a whole like song. Like I had a girlfriend in sixth grade, Analia Ramirez. If you still exist, hello. All I remember is that was her name. Sixth grade. But I remember I would like belt these songs out in my room, like door closed. But like the minute my brothers come around, even though I know they were into it too, I was like, what's up, bro? What's up, bro? What's up, dog? You know, but in my brain, but now like I don't care. I admit, like I have a huge soft spot for like crooner music. Like I love Sinatra. I love Andrea Bocelli. Like that type of music.
Charlie's good.
Did you used to burn CDs?
Oh, did I burn CDs, bro?
Dude.
Call me LimeWire King, bro.
Dude,
that was my house.
Yeah, LimeWire was that.
My house, we burn all the CDs.
I remember when CDs were like, I would put them in my pocket and then you'd start running and then the disc would skip.
Oh, yeah.
And you're like, no, I was on a good part of the song.
Yeah, the walk right when the chorus is about to drop.
You remember I had to get the ghetto little Honda? I had the little tape attachment, but with a CD player.
Don't you still have that in your car?
Yeah, I had that in my first car.
Ricky always has like weird contraptions to listen to music in his car. Always.
I really do. I like to stay behind the times.
Ricky's definitely behind the times.
On my 1991 Corolla, I had that same thing where you had to put the tape in and it became an aux cord.
Yeah.
Dude.
Best.
That's you were a baller. You yes. were a baller if you had an aux cord.
Until you hit a pothole.
I think another thing that like would be collectible that I didn't like back then was Yu-Gi-Oh! But I like it now.
I never got into it.
I felt like such a nerd because it was like just outside of Magic and it was just outside of Pokemon a little bit, but it was like its own little niche.
Yeah.
And I grew up like, I was like, dude, you gotta have the blue eye steel dragon. You gotta have like every single dragon possible. And then it was like, you have to have the complete Mayan. Everything about it was just like dope for me.
What is the ultimate nerd thing?
We collect the ultimate nerd thing.
Don't say
I can tell you right now what it is.
Don't say
the
that.
Shirts, like the vintage shirts, like the over the top.
I'm talking not value. I'm talking like, and we're all nerds here.
Yes.
But what's 100%. Like the thing when you see like, man, that guy is a nerd.
Let's I would say
it's okay.
I would say Dungeons and Dragons.
No!
This is into it now.
Ultimate nerd over here. No, that's the one, even when I was younger, that it was like, oh, you do what? Dungeons and Dragons? Whoa, you're over there, man. That's like a whole different crowd.
So you
of
say
nerds.
D&D. Yeah.
But I would say back then it was. Now it's probably, it's getting a lot more popular.
Sure.
It is. Okay, with Baldur's.
Yeah. Chris just scooted over, by the way, for those who couldn't see.
No. And listen, if you're into that,
that's awesome.
It's your thing, and I appreciate it. The more I've learned about it, I'm more like, oh, that's pretty awesome, actually.
Yeah.
I just, when I was younger, I remember that being kind of like your Power Rangers story, where it was
like,
oh, Dungeons and Dragons, yep. Like, you know, but.
So, no offense.
No offense taken. Don't worry. You could literally joke about anything. I wouldn't care. I'm just doing my first campaign with some friends. I just wanted to try it out and see what happens. But basically, it's like role play.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm not ready for. Like, I have to be something else than I'm not used to. But I think what...
Like, role play, like, your like, character?
Oh, yeah, so, your interactions after something, right? Like, if you roll a certain way and your character has to react to that situation, it can be a different outcome for you.
Hmm.
And
wait, do you have to like speak like in like a weird tongue or something?
No. So like you can have an accent. So like you're basically acting. That's
do you dress up, Curtis?
I am definitely gonna dress up like a nerd for sure. I'm gonna become one of those guys.
So nothing changes.
That's awesome. So I honestly didn't even know much about it. I like if you asked me what do you do with that? I didn't know that's what you do.
Yeah. So I mean, what's cool with what I'm doing with my friends is they have like. Obviously, they have the in-game board style, right? But now they have these, like, on the internet, they create maps for you so your team can go on this map, and everything is pretty much digitally for you. Like, you can roll a certain advantage or disadvantage or whatever it is, and that's based on, like, what you can do.
Dude, that sounds fun.
Dude, Hey, it's, so I love that because like the thing, the reason why it's getting so much traction is because a game that just came like out like maybe last year and is game of the year is Baldur's Gate 3.
Yeah.
Right.
I actually have like some of the D&D games. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. The games are great.
Yeah. So Baldur's Gate 3 is kind of like what's helping it take off because people are getting into those situational things. They're like, oh, okay. Like, how could I do this? Like Dungeons and Dragons. It's just like that. But with the other one is like you can create characters and do your own storyline and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Well, some of these things I've kind of wanted to go back. There, like even Magic back in the day was considered pretty nerdy.
Yeah.
I was growing up along with Dungeons and Dragons. But when you describe that, honestly, I'm kind of like, well, I'd like to check that out. Guys with my store have been like, hey, we're going to play some Magic. Do you want to do it? And I'm like, I've never played Magic, but I kind of want to go check it out now. I'm like, I'm open to checking it out.
It's interesting how tastes can change like that. You know, like for me, I always considered like people into like real-time strategy games.
Real-time
but then I fell in love with Mario Rabbids and beat it and got the DLC and beat it.
That's an RTS?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Wow. So turn-based RTS. I feel the same way about Dungeons & Dragons, like how I feel about RPGs, right?
Got it.
I kind of felt that way about it as well. Like I didn't give it a fair chance. Me and Ben were talking about it and we were like, bro, we really just kind of disregard RPGs all together.
Yeah.
Because we all grew up on like cool platformers, like the next cool thing.
Cool kids are playing platformers.
But now it's like
Contra.
You know, you want something different, and then it's like you have other people who are interested in it. You just want to give it a try.
Yeah,
that was considered pretty nerdy back in the day too. I'm an RPG guy, and if I had friends over and I was like, "Oh yeah, you want to play like this game?" And they'd be like, "What? What is that? Like, let's play Mario or let's play whatever." Like the RPG stuff is a totally different category, along with the RTS stuff, which I love that too. Yeah. It is a different, whole different realm.
You know what we should all do? We should go LARPing.
LARPing?
I think that would be fun, dude.
Role models, dude.
Yes.
Dude, role models look
You know LARPing?
No.
Like, it's like, you dress up like knights and stuff, and you guys just go ham.
Oh, like the Renaissance Fair
stuff?
Yeah. I love that
stuff. Dude, that sounds so fun.
Back in the day, I was like,
I love that.
Made fun of, but now I like watching, like, dude.
I've been to a few Renaissance Fairs. I've never dressed up, but I appreciate the people that do that. I'm like, I could probably totally get into this.
You'd be a good character. I'm not going to lie, with the beard and the hair.
The Black Knight. I want to be dark.
You wish.
You know, you see, Chris just goes shirtless. He's just like,
oh, I would not wear a shirt if I was LARPing either. I'd be
he would be lucky if
Legosaurus is what I want to be.
You would make a good dwarf, man.
A little Gimli.
What would Ricky be a good? I'm trying to think. What would
an
Ricky...
orc?
I would be in a good orc.
Oh my god!
Dang.
What about Ben? Ben would be like the beast.
The wizard.
Warrior. I know what Ben is. Ben's the blacksmith. He's the guy.
Oh yeah.
The guy with the hammer.
What do I mean? Chris would be an archer.
I could see you being a like a mage, like a wizard.
I think you said a maid. I was like
a mage. No, not a mage.
He's like pass that one to Ricky.
like a wench. No, like a mage. You have powers.
Got it. Like magical. Okay, I like that. That's fun. All right, let's go LARPing. Dude. That's so fun right now.
See, like I mean, like LARPing is almost the same thing as D&D, but you just don't move around.
Yeah.
So like that's why I liked it. But another thing that I thought was nerdy when I was getting like my generation was World of Warcraft people.
Oh yeah. That's my brother.
Yeah, the people that would be at their desk all day. Like the South Park one where it had the World of the Warcraft
classic.
Guy.
It's like the most classic.
That's the depiction of like, oh, that guy's nerd as could be.
True. I think that probably was the depiction of nerd for many years, at least like in the early 2000s.
Yeah.
That was kind of – and I knew a lot of people – my old boss sold one of his like accounts for like $60,000 or something.
Really?
He just was grinding 24/7 on that.
What?
Wow.
Dang.
Yep.
Yeah, there's actually – it's funny because CSGO 2, they have this thing where it's like a gamble system.
Okay.
And when you gamble, you can get like certain skins. And those skins, based on what you get, can be worth money. And some are worth $1,000, $4,000. A guy got another one was $20,000. And I was like, dude, that's actually kind
of
nuts.
Like, do you play World of Warcraft?
Huh?
You into it?
Heck no, I'm not into that. No, I think I've just totally fought it off as that's the nerd game I'm never touching.
Push it out of your system.
Yeah, like I'm just like that. I've always had that. I know all gamers come in all shapes and sizes. I am the size of a beast, but I just know that World of Warcraft just never interested me because I didn't want to get into that stigma.
I just can't get out of my head how bad I want us all dressed up as a as Lucky. I literally, while you were talking, I was just picturing you like with a spike helmet with like a big axe. Like, ah.
I have a feeling Riff's going to do AI later. He's just going to get us all together and do something.
I would do that. That would be fun. There's some pretty good Renaissance fairs around here,
we
too.
We have to do one,
actually. Yeah.
Dude, Chris,
I'd be down for that.
Chris invited me to this like cool spot.
Thanks for the invite, Chris.
He literally called me. He's like, hey, man, you busy? And I was like, I was with Ben and we were doing stuff with the podcast. And he was at a vintage computer spot.
Oh,
that was cool.
And I went to that. It was the SoC VCF, which is Vintage Computer Festival.
Oh, right. You told us about that.
And that was an amazing festival. But I will say, first of all, the guys there were amazing. Had an awesome time. I took my son to it. But when you look at early like computer programmers, that certainly is like its own genre of like,
yes,
call it nerdiness or whatever. Yeah, but that, yeah, I mean, and rightfully so, like those guys were diehard computer programmers.
So that's like what you would call back in the day that the derogatory term was like a Poindexter.
Kind of, yeah. Right.
Like the glasses, the hoodie, the very, like, I think that was the, I mean, that was the thing. But I was Conan O'Brien. You know?
I've always been appreciative of that crowd, and we're trying to coordinate with them to have them at SoCal with the so presence, sick. Too. The reason I'm appreciative of that crowd is because they really are the beginnings, those early computers and the developers of everything we play now. Like, all it had to go through, of course, Pong, and then all the stuff that came from that up to what we're at now.
Oregon Trail Bomberman.
Which one?
Yeah. Oregon Trail Bomberman on the Mac.
Oh, God, those are incredible. Oh,
so good.
I used to go to the library all the time.
Hey, Ben, how many Oregon Trail hand consoles do you own?
I don't know what you're talking about.
No way. Really?
Oh, yeah. He has like 50 of them.
You want to buy some?
I would love to play them.
Not at what you're trying to make me pay.
You're a collector of Oregon Trail hand.
No.
Hoarder. He's a baker. I just bought it to flip eventually.
but never.
That's a reseller of Oregon Trail.
Dude, I got it for $10 at Target each, and now they go for like $45.
Oh, they're all the same one. I thought they were like different variations.
$10. Easy there, Chicago. Sheboygan. What's that from?
Sheboygan. Oh.
Come on.
Oh, Sheboygan. God.
Who's going to get it first?
Not Curtis.
Sheboygan.
I'm dying.
Home Alone.
Oh, dang it.
Dang.
John Candy. Sheboygan.
Sheboygan.
Oh, man. This is such a cool vibe, man. I really like this. Like, it's very loose or chilling.
Oh, dude. Yeah. This studio right now, for those who have catched this episode and not the other one, this is our podcast studio.
This is it, man.
This is it. We're at my house just chilling.
And just a reminder, guys, I'm gonna tell you right now, SoCal Gaming Expo is June 8th and June 9th of this year. Texas World Championships through 7th through the 9th, and it's gonna be in Pasadena. It is
Blue Scooty is officially coming. Blue Scooty, the kid who broke it.
Sonic Voice is just announced.
You showed me some awesome announcements that maybe will be out by the time this
John
comes out.
John St. John, Jill Valentine will be there.
Really good guests.
Silver the Hedgehog, Sonic the Hedgehog, and a ton. We officially have bought the Ninja Turtle half pipe. We were talking about it before. Maybe we bought it. It's ours. It is the one from the Paramount Studios premiere. And on top of that, we've hired three pros from Birdhouse, including Jaws. Not like, oh, random pros. No, three pro skaters on the main pro team, Tony Hawk's team of Birdhouse, will be there, including Jaws. So
don't miss it, guys.
There's a lot happening, dude.
Get your tickets. It's in the description. I'm telling you.
All right. Get yourself a ticket. Get yourself a ticket.
Perfect. All right. So this one's going to be one of the best ones. I know Riff's going to be really passionate about it.
Oh, boy.
Do video game soundtracks matter?
Oh, man. They matter
so much.
So much that it's unbelievable. Because I feel like going back to video games, I feel like right now, at least for me, and this is me with even like my faith, like sometimes I get so much more out of music than I do out of other things. I could right now, if you guys showed me a video game, I'm pointing over there for those who can't see because that's where my video games are right now. And if you played me, you know, the ending scene of Mega Man 2, I'd be like, sick, that looks cool. But if you played me the music along with it, it hits on a whole new level. It adds so many layers of elements. You know, it's a image of Mega Man walking, going through the different seasons, going through the snow, going through the leaves. Whatever music you put on there, it could be fun by putting fun music, right? But by their decision to make it soft and emotional and like almost like a celebratory sadness in a weird net way, it can like trigger the highest end of nostalgia in you with the music, not just the video. Yes, the gameplay can do that too. But I feel like for me in a video game, music just changes everything. And that goes for movies as well.
True.
I agree. Yeah. Man, some of the, I mean, I just think of like Legend of Zelda, like it, the opening theme to that just makes that game.
Yep.
It like, so if you just took the music away, it'd be a good game, but the music adds so much to it. Cookie. Do you feel like the music composers, I know there's some other podcasts and I've seen them getting more recognition, but like, do you, are you familiar with a lot of the music like composers that
have made? Koji Kondo was Zelda, I think.
Okay. So you do know some of them.
I do know. Tim Fallon is one of my favorites on the NES. Grant Kirkhope with Rare. There's a lot of them that I stick with. I don't research it as much as I should, and maybe even I'm misquoting. I don't think I am, but I think, you know, that a lot of these people deserve so much respect because I feel like so much of an end product is based on music. And that, like I said, that goes for movies too, right? There's certain scores within John Williams, who did Home Alone. He did Star Wars. I mean, when you listen to Home Alone, the other day I had like on a playlist in my car and it was like, you know, it's not, Christmas is long gone, but like we were driving home and it was on like a shuffle and immediately like a note came on from Home Alone. All my kids were like, oh, we feel so happy, Home Alone. Like it just like, it did something in them, right? There was no video playing. It was just the music. And I feel like, you know, it's just such an impactful part of media.
Yeah. Like I couldn't name one musical composer. I've never dove into that to even like research it to know. So I almost feel like that was my question to you, is like, do they not get enough recognition?
It's
such a big part of the games. No. Like,
dude, like sticker, like is it Sticker Bush or Sticker Brush?
Sticker Brush Symphony,
dude.
DKC. I that might be Grant Kirkhope. I want to look that up.
I can put that
DKC
on.
DKC soundtrack is unbelievable.
I can put that on and literally like get
pumped up.
Yeah, well, like, I get more emotional. I'm like, man, this is so good.
Who is it? Sticker Shock.
Sticker. No, the level name or the name of the song is Sticker Brush.
I feel good about my life. Grant Kirkhope. I got it.
But
right.
Dude, dang. So good. You know which one it is, right? I didn't want to do it. I'm going to sound like an idiot.
Don't worry about it, bro. You guys keep talking.
I just put on like some nostalgia music, like N64, all like the soundtracks for it. And I just had it playing in the background. And every time I was like, man, all these, every single one hit.
Ready?
Oh, it's so good.
So good.
We can let it sit. We can let it sit for a sec.
All right.
Oh, it's so good.
Wank. Wank.
That's Ricky making the sound effects when you squish the bug. Wank.
It's like, sounded like a quick fart.
Yeah, man. It's
so good.
Some of my favorite music comes from, now I guess in this vein, is some of the more, I won't say impactful yet, but more nostalgic music. Do you find a lot of it within like the 8-bit days, the 16-bit days, the newer gen? Where do you find yourself when you think about good video game music? Where do you kind of let your heart lie?
64-bit for me.
64,
huh?
64-bit,
I'd have to say Super Nintendo.
Yeah, 16-bit.
I think of like Chrono Trigger. Chrono Trigger,
oh, Chrono Trigger
was unbelievable.
Amazing.
Yeah, just I could sit there and just like listen. I think you're in like the area where you save or whatever that sound is. And I would just sit there and like not play the game for a while. I'm just like, oh, this music's awesome.
Yeah, I remember like the so Kirby good. Soundtrack was super good for me. And
Kirby has
64.
Bops, dude.
Yeah.
It's the reason why he's one of my favorite characters. They don't only just like nail him as a character. They also nail him as like the background chorus to his style. Like even if you were to go back further, it just like his like adventure and all that stuff like on NES, it's good.
Yeah,
this is one of my favorites right here. I'm gonna bop this one for you guys. Does anyone know what this one is off the back?
Oh,
is it an NES game?
Batman.
Yep.
It is Batman.
It's in the sewer. Point.
Really good.
In the sewer?
Is this first?
Yes.
Yeah.
Sewer
yeah.
level?
And what's crazy, so that's Sunsoft. In the 8-bit days, Sunsoft, it's weird how in like chiptune days, like 8-bit and 16-bit, I can hear a lot of soundtracks and immediately know the developer. The other day I was listening to something and I was like, that, I didn't know what the game was, but it was crazy. I was just listening and I'm like, that sounds like Natsume. I was like, I feel like that's a Natsume track. And I Googled and I was like, it's a Natsume game. And I was like, that's weird. I can recognize Sunsoft. I can recognize Tim Fallon when he's doing work. So many soundtracks have a specific, or companies have like a specific style. Irem has a style.
What was Bionic Commando? Who did that? Because I love the music in Bionic Commando. Yeah,
I would say that Riff has like a very almost pitch perfect with NES music.
Yeah, it's super impressive.
I
won't play that game with you anymore, man.
No, but it was funny because people were like, you gotta do it again.
Remember we were trying to guess what song it was?
Oh, yeah, no, that game.
That was ridiculous.
That was unfair.
I was like, that was rigged. I feel like as much as you think that like editing matters and like that you could guess that many songs, it's the fact that you could just hear a little tone and you go, oh, and then just say the name of it as soon as possible.
I say this and not even – this is my life. So ever since recollecting for the NES and even before then, like when I'm chilling – I mean I will be in here for 6 hours, you know, working, being in the backyard. All I listen to is NES OSTs. I don't listen to remixes. I don't listen to techno beats of it. Just straight up NES music on shuffle. And every once in a while, I won't know it. And I'm like, what is this? And I'll pull it out and I'm like, man, that's a sick Super C. That one came on the other day. Contra Force one came on the other day. Where I'm like, that is a freaking jam.
I guarantee you, if you do the 64 and the Super Nintendo, those two will be just as good.
I say while we do this, we'll sporadically play a song. Everyone gets to pick that they want to hear. And we'll kind of toss it in because I think it's good for the audience to kind of.
Yeah.
Let's give Chris what he kind of just shouted out, what he wanted the audience to hear.
Bionic Commando? Oh, yeah. Please. I love it.
Oops. Let's do Area 1.
So good. Oh, I'll just let this play.
You know what I like to analyze? Okay. So I like to analyze music. Listen to the snare drum. You know what that is? That's very military.
It is.
Right? Yeah. The drum lines, it's always.
It's only just took off of a 10-yard fight. They just take it off of that.
That one was always so complex to me. It changes to so many different variations of that as you were playing it. And it gave you like such an epic feeling when you were starting that game.
It does.
You were like, oh man, I'm going into like this epic battle. What's going to happen? That's one of my favorites. I absolutely
Chris,
love
what
it.
Can I pull up for you while you finish your thought?
Kirby Crystal Shard. Okay, I want you. That one.
Go ahead, keep talking.
Nice.
I was also going to say like, think about how key sound is in horror games, right? Like the buildup, like in Resident Evil. Okay. I remember
I'm stopping you here then.
Yeah.
I'm switching what I was going to play for you and I'm going to play this.
Okay.
Don't even say it. Ricky knows what I'm going to pull up right now.
I won't say it. But you're right on that because imagine Final Fantasy without. Like that is
one of the best.
Insane. Like you cannot do that again. I'm like, that is beautiful.
So I have to say it here now, and you guys don't know because the video drops tomorrow. The audience will know now. The NES Pursuit is relaunching tomorrow.
Let's go.
Whenever I get NES games, that's the theme that comes up.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
So you'll be hearing it all the time. It goes, and it shows how many count I have.
Oh, that's awesome. Awesome.
Okay, I had to pull this up because Curtis said this. Ricky's going to know. I think this is one of the greatest, and it might even get us demonetized, but that's okay. One of the greatest pieces of music within horror. And it's the intro scene to Silent Hill.
So good.
Thanks. Such an eerie feeling.
It's eerie.
Yeah.
Wait right? for it. It's perfection.
Yeah. There you go. Video. There you go.
The buildup.
It sounds like demented too.
And this just like pretty, but not.
So good.
It's so good. I said it'll probably get us demonetized because it's the one time on YouTube a long time ago I played that and I got demonetized. Hopefully it doesn't pick up as good because we're going through a mic, kind of a weird.
Oh, you know, who knows? Who knows?
Yeah, those audio listeners, by the way, I'm literally just holding a phone up to a mic. So
yeah, we're not like playing a clip of it.
Wait,
like,
look, before you talk, Curtis, Ricky, have me pulling up what you want. You want a crystal shard.
Curtis wanted a crystal shard.
Yeah, so like one of the scenes that I remember like in like a horror game was, do you remember in Resident Evil when you go into that room and it's like closing in on you?
Yeah.
That feeling I just always remember, and then when you walk out, the soundtrack after that is always just nice. But I just, for some reason, Resident Evil had like a really good soundtrack for me in PlayStation.
It does.
PlayStation was actually legit, had good, really good soundtracks because of the RPGs.
I also like finding that rocket launcher in the lawn and bringing it back inside.
Rocket launcher. Wait, here you go, Curtis. Is this a good one, Curtis, or should I go to the...
Either one, yeah, dude.
That
I mean,
sounds good.
That's pretty. This is the file select theme, I feel like. It doesn't say, but I think this is like the file select.
It's such a vibe, man. Like
that is
like,
good.
if you don't have the gameplay, the sound still doesn't sounds do
it.
Great.
It's like Mega Man X when you start. That just pumps me up every time.
What's yours? Well, oh, you already did Sticker Brush, huh?
I did Sticker Brush.
A different one? Come on.
I can give you one of the ones these guys will love. Dire Dire.
Ooh. Or otherwise known as Jolly Roger Bay.
Jolly Roger Bay.
The other name. Let's get this one for Ricky. So I'd say this one actually holds a lot of, like, this is one of the songs. So whenever I'm editing and I want to really emphasize emotions and like happy yet nostalgic, almost like, like emotional, like almost maybe even sad, I use this theme.
Oh, yeah.
When you're swimming.
This is underwater. But wait for this little melody to drop right here. This is where it gets real pretty.
Dang.
Dropping a little lower note. So simple, too.
Mm-hmm. So good.
Oh, yeah.
So good.
Oh, it's solid. Pretty, man.
It's so good.
Yeah, I just feel like things are they're underrated. I feel like they don't get enough credit for music in the game.
Mm-mm.
Ben wants one. Ben, what do you want? I saw him look over here.
Chris, I do. I do. So snap. All right. So Super Mario Kart, just like the menu.
Oh, that's a good, dude, Ben, that's actually a really good one. I love that one.
Oh boy. Menu screen. Ricky, this is one of our favorite songs.
Oh,
because this is a song we use in the original episodes all the time. Oh wait, dang, wrong one.
Well, this is Ben.
No, Ben is this one. Watch. Where's the file select screen? I need file select.
Well, how about Rainbow Road on Mario Kart? Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that, what is that called? That is the character select.
Character select.
Character select.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yep. I love it.
Oh, Retro Liberty Days.
Oh, dude, I am fat fingering everything right now, and my phone's just going wild. Sorry, Ben, you lost it, but Ricky and I can give it to you.
So good.
I think I have to pull out my banger. I don't know what my banger one is yet. I have a...
What is your banger?
I don't know. What when you think of video game music, do you normally resonate with more emotional or more like, that's hype? Oh, what gets you?
The emotional gets me more, but I love the hype.
I don't know. I also like when it puts me into a setting, right? Like, I love that feeling where I know where I'm going to be. Like in Zelda Ocarina of Time, like, you know when you're in the forest. The forest temple.
Kokiri Forest.
Yeah.
Oh, like, that's good.
And you know when you're in the temple, when you're trying to find the hover boots and all that stuff.
Oh, gosh.
Like, you just know it, right? Just from that vibe.
Yeah.
I would say more emotional.
Yeah.
I like the hype stuff, but I like the emotional stuff.
Yes.
I think better.
It just feels good, especially when you're just listening. You're like, all right, this is beautiful.
There's so many.
Super Mario 64, so many good though, ones, too. Like,
just walking around the castle. I love that. Just that soundtrack.
Dun. Oh, it's so good. Yeah, you know, I kind of think of this when I think of good music.
Ding.
Oh,
it's
so good.
It is good.
But how perfect is it for what you're doing in the game? Like, it couldn't be a more perfect setting. Not scary, but just kind of dwelling unsure in like a castle. Like a very,
it
like.
It sounds absolutely perfect for it.
Uh-oh.
Like, I couldn't think of any other song for it.
It's not too haunting, but it's not too happy.
But it is a little bit haunting.
A little. That's
time.
What I mean. It has a
like
hint.
Just hints on
a
it.
A hint of haunt.
How about.
Like, it's haunting, but you're going to have fun in here, kind of
yes,
thing at the same
yes.
time.
Yes.
How about. I mean, this is a Game Boy. What's it called? Game Boy music track, but
yeah.
Pokemon.
It is pretty good.
When you catch a Pokemon or you go into battle, it's like.
Oh, that one.
That one.
That one just gets me
and
all
it's like when you're leaving just
when you don't want to catch them.
When you're leaving just
yeah. So good.
That is so good. Iconic, dude.
That's fire. I'm not going to lie.
That is good.
That's hype music right there.
Then this.
That's total hype.
Dude.
That's good.
It's really good.
That's really
good.
That
is really good. That is so good.
We actually, Ricky and I got to meet the guy who made the Pokemon song.
No way.
Gotta catch him.
We should try
really?
To get him.
Which was even great. He actually came to watch me in a documentary. And I was like, oh, cool. Like, he went to watch a documentary I was in. And he came in and he was there. He's a totally normal, cool guy.
Like, it would be cool. And I'm sure that some of them have been guests at shows. But to have some of those guys at SoCal as guests would be pretty awesome.
Consider it done.
Yeah. He still sings that song.
He's booked. What was that? He's on his way. Wait, wait, wait. He's at the door. Welcome in.
But that would be cool. And I don't know, would they be guests people would want to meet, or is it better as like a panel maybe?
I mean, I would love to meet video game music people and pick their brain. I find so much pleasure in video game music. Although there is the Garbs, of course, too. And you have to give some shout outs to Rad Racer on the NES. One of the most loved games, but one of the most garb musics. It just hurts my ears.
Play it.
Let's see. All right, Ben. Ben knows. Every time me and Ben are sitting there, I'm like,
yeah, every time we're packing for whatnot, it pops up.
It always pops up. It's no F-Zero. F-Zero is just smooth.
Ooh, F-Zero's
good. Now, there's only a few tracks, so I have to make sure it's the right one. Let's see. Nope, that one's not bad. Listen.
This one is dark.
Headache for me.
It's just a lot, right?
Put it this way. It's not bad, but it's like when you hear someone play the guitar and they're like, no, I just want to do a solo for 20 minutes. You're like, oh, okay, I got it. You can shred, but can let me hear like a melody now.
Okay. The worst audio that I sent you guys this literally in the group chat that I found as a kid that I finally knew what it was. It was the TV plug and play for baseball. That sounds terrible. Well,
plug and play. You're going low
brow.
Look
it up. Look it up.
There's no way that's going to come up.
No. TV.
TV.
There's so many plug and plays.
Baseball.
We went from great ones to horrible ones.
No, I'm telling you, it sounds terrible. The only thing I remembered as a kid was like just a blurred out
backyard baseball.
No.
It's not on here.
No, play TV baseball.
I typed that in.
Play TV baseball in YouTube, circa 2000.
I did. I'm getting Scott the Waz recommendations.
So much stuff.
Thanks, Scott the Waz. It's all I got from that.
Type in play baseball TV.
It's crazy. Hey, there it is.
Dude, it has the worst sounding crowd I've ever. It's just like.
Let's see. We'll do a random. What I'll do is I'll stand up. Don't worry, Ben. I know I'm going to ruin it. I'm going to pick a random game in here. Let's go. Now let's go NES. Let's go Uninvited. Uninvited NES.
I think it has good music, actually.
Uninvited.
Because I was going to say Shadowgate has
really good music. Doesn't Uniracers have really good music?
Uniracers has great music.
Shadowgate was great. Even Double Dragon was good, too.
Ready? Here we go.
Double Dragon is good.
Double Dragon 2.
Uninvited.
Okay. That's pretty good. That's the opening scene?
Opening. Let's go to like a level.
I think when you get in the house, it gets good. See, it's like Shadowhawk. I mean, not Shadowhawk, Shadowgate.
Ooh.
Which, that actually sounds like it's from Shadowgate, like they took it. Shadowgate had some of the best music ever. It's just like that.
Okay, this is good.
That's really good. That sounds like it's ripped from Shadowgate. Maybe I think it's the same developers. Like, they might have used the same music.
I'm waiting
Curtis
for
found it.
All right.
Curtis found his plug-in TV play.
Although it doesn't sound too bad, but, dude, it sounds terrible.
That sounds like the beginning of Punch-Out.
It sounds terrible. But the only thing I remember, like, I couldn't figure it out. I thought it was Slugfest. But it's like, you hit a home run, it goes, home run. That's all I can remember.
Yeah, that just sounds like garbled noise with no thought put into it.
No,
it's
but
supposed to be the crowd cheering.
But, yeah, but that's right before, like, Don Flamenco, you know, when he walks up.
Yeah, it does sound like that.
That's literally what it sounds like.
Yeah.
You're right.
I was screaming. I was like, Ben, I can't remember. I was calling my mom. I called my brothers. Like, don't you remember us swinging at a TV with a baseball bat? And they're like, what are you talking about?
Sometimes
the less music
can be better.
I know what you're pulling up. So good.
That's right.
Super Metroid.
So good. Oh, my gosh.
It's going to kick in. Let it bake.
So good.
Oh, man.
Doesn't get much better.
That's pretty good.
I like everyone quieted down.
A little higher now.
I'm trying to listen because this is the first time I'm hearing because I never played Super Metroid.
It's so good.
It's a great game, too.
I never played any amazing.
That's my top five.
So in the world of platformers, there's a lot of people who put that as the greatest platform of all time. NES Complex being one of them. Actually, that is the greatest game of all time.
That's in my top five favorite games.
This is why I call it a Super Nintendo garb because I really never gave it a chance.
Really?
As much as I would like to, but I never really gave it a chance. I was just past it.
I truly believe it's the greatest console we ever got.
I do, too.
Still, I really do.
I think best music, some of it, best gameplay.
What I like about the music is Genesis always was very rocky, edgy. Super Nintendo was always very, like, orchestral and, like, polishy. Mm-hmm. But not in, like, that one's better than the other. It's almost like, you know, one guy said, let me grab the acoustic guitar, and then Genesis let me grab the electric guitar. Just felt like two different things, kind
of. Like, that's kind of like what we talked on the basis of, like, Genesis being kind of, like, past it, like it's in the future kind of vibe.
Yeah,
like they just didn't hit the mark like Nintendo would have.
Dang. Yeah, a big thing for me and my brother Adam is we will actually very often, like very very more than people would think, like weekly, we will just send each other video game music.
You know, it's a good one. See if you can pull this one up. Shadowrun, but there's the Genesis Shadowrun version. I can't remember if I love this or hate it. Do you ever play Shadowrun on Genesis? This would play over and over and over again. And I'm trying to remember if I loved it or hated it.
Shadowrun Genesis. I'm just going to put Shadowrun Genesis OST, which is the original soundtrack, and let you tell me.
Is that what OST means?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
It was good. Now that I remember. I think, but it started to get annoying after I kept playing it.
That is such a Sega sound, that.
Yeah, so it's more guitar-y, like you said.
Always.
Very rough. But this one is good.
I'm not a fan.
Wait, hear that bass though? That's rough.
That's really rough.
But this bass that drops in, kind of funky.
Play like the first level. Like play like the next one. Let me see.
Curtis ain't vibing.
No. It ain't me.
It was different. It was very like the 90s, like Blade Runner-ish.
It's a nostalgia.
Ooh, Blade Runner-y. Okay.
Yeah.
Guys, we had a little bit of a malfunction. I think our thing overheated a little bit.
It was too much heat being played, bro.
I know. And we were literally just about to finish it up. I think you were going off of NES Complex's comment on the sounding.
Yes. So. I don't remember what it was.
But hey, guys, I just want to say we're going to close it up right here. And if you guys haven't got your tickets yet, like I said, SoCal Gaming Expo will be June 8th and June 9th. And all audio full episodes will be linked in the description, as well as the tickets. And there's going to be so much going on.
So much.
And Caleb, like I said, we're going to give you a shout out on the 1UP.
1UP
app. 1UP. So...
One up. What did Ricky say?
One up.
Ricky said uno.
Dos.
Uno, dos.
Can we go out on the Double Dragon 2 music?
Let's do it. So anything else to say, Curtis?
No. I just want to say, guys, thank you for the first episode we air in the podcast.
Yeah, this place is awesome. I want to say to you guys, because you did a lot of this work. You, Curtis, and Ben setting this up. You guys did an incredible job with this. Really, really good. And you, of course.
I will say I will give this guy the majority of the credit because he lived and breathed this. Yes, I helped him a lot and all that, but Curtis was putting his freaking heart and soul into it. So
Curtis. You guys, I mean, like I said, it wouldn't be a podcast if it wasn't for this crew. So I mean, like,
and thank you to Ben for stepping in as a audio and video engineer back then.
Ben came in clutch right there, saying, "Hey, it stopped." So I know.
Oh, and Chris, he offered to buy us all dinner after this.
But we gotta have blue cheese on it though.
And Ricky offered to buy the dessert. Let's go.
And I can't wait till we make more future videos in here. And as we progress, we're gonna get more things. We're gonna get the ranking back. We're gonna get more guests in here. So.
And thank you to everybody for continuing to watch, of course, too.
It's almost like a game show. Like we're saying goodbye, like on a radio show with the music coming in. Yeah. And that was Pixel Game Squad. Yes. What's our channel? Pixel Podcast.
And close up. They're both doing the same. Yeah.
Leave a recording, man. No, I'm just kidding. All right, that's good.
Thank you, guys.